B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Buddy, happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. And today's a big day. It was at 2 o'clock. Team USA tries to advance into the round of 16 against Iran. And this is a, I'm actually really looking forward to it. You know, I was looking forward to Friday when Team USA played England. That was fun. But this one, I really am. I mean, because, look, this is it. This is the final of the group stage. And it's, you know, win in advance. And you lose, and especially to Iran. I mean, let's face it. You know, the political landscape here is makes for even more intrigue. So this is going to be an interesting, really interesting match today. We cannot wait. Now, you know, it's funny. I was reading all about it. I got caught up in it. So I started reading up about it. And strategically, and I don't want to listen to Coach, you know, forgot more soccer than I know, right? So Eric Camille, who's on the morning show, those guys did such a great job this morning that, listen, the coach knows what he's doing. But I will say from my research, because Iran only needs a draw to get in, that they could pack it in and try to play more defensive and deliberate. Almost try to, you know, to try to get this thing as a tie, as a draw to try to get in, because USA has to win. Draw's no good. Drawing her out. So they got to win. So then they're going to be on the attack. Should be interesting. Should be a fun. The World Cup is a great event. It really is. And I like it because of I'm a nut when it comes to sports early and sports during weird times. And so it's pretty cool, like in the morning, to have it. So I want to get into some nationalism today. I want to go and dive into some American pride today. And I want to dive into all things America today, right? All things that we are proud of. So there's going to be a theme today for that. There's going to be a whole theme for that sort of stuff. But we have that going on. We got the 10-1 Birds. And I want you to take a deep breath for a second. And I want you to reflect. And I think this is a good time to reflect on the Eagles. So 10-1. And to reflect the fact, it was funny, we were just talking to the guys this morning about they're 10-1, and right now they could have the third pick in the draft. It's just insane. I mean, that's amazing to me that they could sit there and get the and have the third pick in the draft. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I love Will Anderson, all right? Like, that's I'm not trying to be cute, and I'm going to try to, like John brought up, hey, well, you know, do you trade back and replenish the coffers and try to walk away with three or four picks? I want the talent. I want the player. I think Will Anderson is a star in the making. They need a young edge rusher. That's a foundation piece. You know, I don't want to get caught in this trap, because sometimes you can get caught in this trap of, you know, draft picks. Listen, we dealt like that with the Sixers, which we'll get to in a second. You know, let's get this pick and that pick and this pick. No, I want the star player. Will Anderson off the edge is going to be a great player. So I'm not being cute about it. In fact, if I'm drafting fifth or sixth and I got Will Anderson in my sights, I actually move up to get him. I'm that close. I'll do whatever I can. I think Will Anderson is that kind of difference maker that you really want to go after. And, if, you know, to be 10-1 and in position, I mean, that's unbelievable. Now, we could all thank Jalen and what Jalen's done and how he's improved his game for this very fact. This was the dream scenario. I mean, last year when we talked about, you know, the quarterback situation, The dream scenario was that Jalen Hurts would become the quarterback. And I had my doubts. Can he throw it? Can he be a good enough thrower? I had major doubts. But this is why you gave him the year, right? This is why you didn't make any rash decisions, so that you said, listen, do whatever you can. We all knew that he would never cheat you when it come to work, when it would come to anything, right? That, smart, work hard, great at work ethic, all the intangibles. And those intangibles, and this is a great story. And it's a great lesson for, I tell my kids about it, about Jalen Hurts. Because I think the lesson is that important. That here's a guy who, you all can watch last year and you saw where he needed to go. And here's a guy that spent all offseason working on his craft, working on his body, working on his arm, working on his understanding of the offense, studying, putting the work in physically and mentally to seize the opportunity. Howie said to them, listen, hey, the job's yours if you can keep it. We're going to have a pick. And he basically so told you, we're going to have a pick. And next year, there's supposed to be, now, some of these quarterbacks didn't pan out, but it was supposed to be the year of the quarterback. So it was like, look, Jalen, this is on you. If you want to secure the job, here it is. And man, coming off that 17 carry, 163 yards and almost 100 yards total in the first quarter, and mixing in some good throws, right? The back shoulder throw to Quez and mixing all that in. That's impressive. That is just impressive. And the lesson about the work ethic and putting the work in both physically and mentally and studying and becoming a quarterback second year in the system, I think is an important one. And it's a great one. It's a great way. It's a great lesson to celebrate. It's a good time to reflect on this season, celebrate what the Eagles have done. And that also includes the coaching. I was with my guys this morning at WM Waste Management, and we were doing we did a little video this morning at 5 o'clock with all the drivers. All my guys, they'll probably listen. So let me give a yo to all you guys driving out there.
We got a yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
And you guys are fantastic. And we were talking a lot about the Eagles, and obviously that was the topic of discussion. And one of the things is just how good they've been, right? Like how well coached they are. We talk about Jalen all the time. But you know what? Sirianni, like who thinks Sirianni is 10-1? Second year. He makes the playoffs his first year, and it follows up with a 10-1 start. I mean, come on. That's a feat. A major, major feat. So we'll get into that. We got Sixers to talk about because the big man was back last night and Joel was tremendous. He was incredible. The beast. Man, when he's on the floor, it's such a different vibe. I gotta tell you. I miss him when he's out. So we're going to be talking to Doc Rivers at 1 o'clock today. So we'll talk to Doc about what it's been like, and we'll dive into some Sixer basketball. Judas, good morning.
What's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Good win for the Sixers yesterday. Exciting to the end, right? And Embiid, once again, kind of puts the team on his back.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Because I thought it looked like they were going to lose the game.
Yeah, it did. You come back, you're down big, you come back, you win the game. Embiid, it's nice to have a big man that can go 10 of 11 from the free throw line. That's part of the reason why you won that game, because he was able to ice it with free throws at the end. Unfortunately, he missed one of the last two. And they did have a shot, a half-court shot, the Hawks did, but they didn't make it. And so the Sixers got another win, and we keep on talking about how it is only November, right? And it's not like really people are paying attention. The league hasn't really necessarily started, but you need to start piling up wins at some point. And the Sixers weren't doing that to start the year. They were piling up losses. And now all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks, they've been getting some good wins with with Embiid before he got hurt, then with all the backups when he goes down, they won a couple of games without him, and now that he's back, you win a game that I thought that you were going to lose. Like, going into it, I was paying attention to it. The line actually jumped up in the Sixers' favor before the game started. I was like, that's weird. But look,
that was the hey, Joe's playing.
Yeah, and all this, it was a 2.5-point line, so Vegas is ridiculous because they win by three. But it was a great win for the Sixers, another nice win to pile up those W's, so that's important. And it's good to see the big man, especially because a couple of weeks ago, you heard calls, you saw the tweets, you saw the Instagram posts. There was a worry of Embiid of, all right, is this never going to work out? And then since then, he's had the historic night where he puts up, 26 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's the one thing I have to say. I know people say, well, the playoffs are a different story. And I don't think it's an Embiid problem.
No.
I don't think the Sixers have a Joe problem. I think they got to figure out what goes around Joe and what meshes around Joe. I mean, I don't think he's an issue. I really don't. I have a buddy of mine, good friend. I call him Coach Paisan because he's a terrific basketball coach, youth coach. He's great at it. He loves the game. He's really sharp. But I joke with him because he's all about, I can face the baskets and face the basket players. And I understand what he's saying, but that doesn't mean you can't win with Joel. Again, he should help you, not hinder you. And I'm a big believer of that. I still believe, let's see Harden's back. Let's see, how the rotation kind of writes itself. Like, they're going to have to make some changes in the rotation, I think, clearly.
Yeah.
But let's see how it's tweaked and what they look like.
The eel is working, right? He's working the phones. The deadline will happen at some point. And who knows? There might be a new player on this team. Tobias has been already floated out there as a guy that could be on the move. I don't know who's going to be picking up his contract yet, but it's easier now that it's not 2.5 years. Remember last year there was talks about Tobias Harris, but there was 2.5 years left on the deal. Now there's only 1.5. And so you get Tobias for the rest of the season and only one more year of that max contract. So who knows? It might be a little bit easier to move him if that's the route that they go. But good win for the Sixers yesterday. Very, very exciting, and exciting for the Eagles. As you mentioned, that they're 10-1. And you're right. It was the dream scenario. You have two first-round picks. If it doesn't work out with Hurts, you move on and you use those two first-round picks for a veteran or to trade up in the draft. Fortunately, they didn't use those two first-round picks to get a guy like Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers was a name that we talked about. Derek Carr was a name that people talked about. Kyler Murray was a guy that people talked about. Thank God they didn't get any of those guys, because look at how all four of them are playing this year. It's not going well for Wilson, Carr, Murray, or Rodgers. And it's going great for Jalen Hurts. He's MVP candidate. And now you have those two first-round picks still to mess around with. And, I love the idea of Will Anderson. We were in awe of him last year and were upset that,
he took over the championship game.
And we were like, damn, it's another year until Will Anderson comes out. They're probably not going to be there in striking distance. And thank God the Saints are moronic and made that deal with the Eagles to start the season. And the Eagles have a top 10 pick. And it could be, I heard John say, highest third overall if they lose out. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
this has worked out perfectly. I'm almost it's the, we had the conversation of the Negadelphian last week. I'm almost waiting for that other shoe to drop. When is something bad going to happen? Because it's Phil's got to the World Series, which is awesome. The Sixers are playing better again, and the Eagles are 10-1, and things are working out in their favor with the draft. This is amazing.
Yeah. You got to put that thought out of your mind.
I try to.
I mean, you got to suppress that.
I know.
Please, don't bring that around. That is one of the worst ways to go through life, waiting for something bad to happen.
I'm enjoying every second of it, so I'm not going to sit there and wait for something bad to happen. But, I keep on going, man, this is really going well. I'm not used to this. I'm not used to it. The Roaring Twenties were dead 6 months ago. Now they're back, and they're alive.
In a big way.
In a big way. This is awesome. I wanted 9 championship appearances. We already got 2 the Phillies and the Union.
Yes. Yeah. Just do me a favor. Push aside. Anytime you have a negative thought, push it aside.
I'll zap myself.
Yeah. All right. Right away, I know that people are going to be, here's the negative stuff. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is a huge loss.
Yeah, lacerated right? kidney.
It's a huge loss. Now, according to Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network, he's not supposed to miss the rest of the season. So you're going to get him back. Now, it's a nasty injury. You know, I've never felt a lacerated kidney. So that's one I would be interested in doing.
No, you don't.
No,
you don't
feel of that. All the things, like, you know, I'm out on that, you know. Probably like right before decapitation, the lacerated kidney. But all kidding aside, again, that's a big loss. And, you know, what my expectation is this, just get healthy for the playoff run.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got a good 6 weeks, right? Like, you're looking at the end of the season. You got to secure the bye. Hopefully that'll happen. And you secure the bye, and then you have time to really get healthy.
Yeah, he's not a guy you're rushing back.
No.
That kind of an injury.
No. And in fact, I'm not rushing any of my guys back. Jordan Davis, there's no need to rush anyone back. There's
you want Maddox healthy.
I'm 10 and 1. I mean, part of the spoils of being 10 and 1 is that there's no stress in missing the playoffs. They can clinch a playoff berth this week. So there's no stress in missing the playoffs. You know, obviously you want to secure home field throughout, make sure you win a division because the Cowboys are on your tail. But, you know, you have to make sure everybody's healthy, and then you could go into the playoffs, you know, feeling good, being at 100%.
Good thing the Eagles have their savior.
You've sunk my blanket ship.
he's still there. Reed.
You love playing that.
Oh, yeah, because of how awful it is. I will play it over and over again.
Listen, it was...
He made a big plays.
It was a good... Remember, he was an undrafted free agent by Howie. That was a good move.
That's a next man up mentality.
Yes.
Going back to the Dougie P move. Days.
Now, I will say, I mean, you got to get Chauncey back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's a terrific player. He has made a difference. Did you hear N'Kobe Dean this morning?
I missed it. No, I did not hear it, but I heard them. When I was in the car, I heard John say how awesome it was, and then I heard you on during the crossover saying how awesome he was.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Really was. It was cool, man. N'Kobe Dean.
I can't wait for him to get, you know,
unleashed. I know it was funny. One of our guys called yesterday talking about it, and... You know, I feel the same way. Like, I'm anxious to watch him play, too. But I kind of understand, you know, the nature of their scheme on defense. And, you know, I mean, who are you taking out?
Right. And that's why I went back to it yesterday. You can't just remove T.J. Edwards, who's been your signal caller all year.
Well, and Kazir White has been terrific.
Right. So, ceiling-wise, I would say Dean higher than T.J. Edwards. But right now, the importance, the value of T.J. Edwards on the team is higher than N'Kobe Dean right now because he's been your signal caller all year. You're not going to mess around with that. It's late.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know, dude. I'm very excited about it. Very excited. By, you know, the way this team is 10-1 and injuries aside, I think it's a good time to reflect on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have the Jalen piece and the Sirianni piece. And I'll still contend that we have had, it's been fascinating, having done this job for a long time and having, you know, seen the ebb and flow of conversation and who it surrounds. Like, I can give you chapter and verse on the polarizing figures in this town. That if you just said the name of the person, the phone lines would just spring to life. Iverson, Lindros, Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny. It's almost like another world ago. I see him on those commercials, right?
Drawing the mustaches.
Right, on the plane. And I shake my head because he's so entrenched as the coach of the Chiefs. It's like his tenure almost never happened. Like, you see him, and he's a Chief.
Yeah, and ultimately he's had more success.
Well, he had a ton of success here.
Yeah, he's had, but, you know, he won the Super Bowl. So ultimately he's had more success.
I mean, I get it.
Also three straight AFC championship games.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just saying, though. I mean, you know, he had a lot of success.
Yeah, I'm not taking away from him. I'm just saying. Mean, that, but he seems, like you said, now a Chiefs coach. Like, yeah, when he goes into the hall.
It's funny because you don't have. Like, I was here when he got here in 99, right?
Right.
So you have no recollection of that. Like, you only see him toward the latter days and his, you know, he's got to go. And, you know, at the end, which was, you know, unceremoniously a shame, I thought. It was the way it all happened. But I get it. Sometimes, you know, everybody just needs a change. And, you know, it worked out. But I think about Sirianni and I go, we don't talk anywhere near.
No.
What, you know, we talked, you know, I mean, I could tell you these stories.
You know why?
Conversations.
Because he hasn't done anything to really bug people yet. Time management was Andy, right? That was one of the jumping off points. There's no time management issues with Sirianni. The biggest thing has been pandering T-shirts that people have complained about. That's now reaching for something.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the same time, during his tenure, you have Doc, you had Girardi. Flyers have been a mess.
Yeah.
So he's kind of, you know, least of your worries right now.
Yeah.
And they're 10-1.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 10-1 is an amazing feat. Just an amazing feat. All right. We got lots to get to. And USA, USA. I want you to talk a little American pride. In fact, we should play all the great Americana songs. In and out. Getting ready for 2:00.
All right.
It's Cuz Radio Tunis. We're just getting started. And look, I hate to say it, but there it is. Winter's coming. Do what I did. Be prepared with Aaron's, the king of snow. As a family-owned company, it's been building extremely reliable products since 1933. That would be 90 years. I trust Aaron's to throw snow better and farther than any other snow throwers out there. We're talking about the Dan Marino of snow throwers. Aaron's is the number one selling brand of two-stage snow throws worldwide. Aaron's snow blowers have a tradition of getting passed on from generation to generation, welcoming thousands into the Aaron's family each season. Aaron's snow throws offers all-day performance, world-class engineering, a lineup of machines to fit every need, including features like hand warmers, electric joystick, shoot control, auto turn steering. Get in before they're gone. Don't get stranded this winter without one. When they're gone, they're gone. Throw back with old man winter dishes out with Aaron's, the king of snow. Visit.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
So you have American pride or what? Are you feeling it?
Yeah, USA, USA, baby.
No, I sense you're like,
I mean, I'll be watching today. I'm not like the biggest soccer guy. I love the World Cup. I think I love the World Cup more so the event than just Team USA. Like, I love seeing cultural pride.
Yeah, I do too. Teams, but right? My point is like,
but like, look, I'm repping. I live here, damn it. So like, I want the USA to win and move on.
Yeah, I just think, you know, honestly, like, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious because, listen, I'm not too proud to go, hey, you guys might know this better than I do, so give me a little insight into this thing. The only thing I can glean is that Iran could be real conservative. The coach is a conservative guy. And they could kind of turtle up and play for the draw.
Right.
So I don't know if that's, you know, again, you know, all it takes is for USA to win, you know, just to break through. They're going to have chances. If they can just break through, that'll get them out of their shell. Because
so they need to be on the attack today, USA.
Yeah, I mean, listen, somebody will correct me. That's the, but I'm asking for it. Like, you know, you tell me whether or not, you know, what's the strategic element here? Because, well, I love sports. I like the strategy of sports.
Right. It's funny. So our man Sam from England, yesterday.
Speaking of which, he knows more than I do.
So I mentioned yesterday that people told me, because again, I'm not like you. I'm not the biggest soccer guy here, and I'm not really breaking down too many strategies. But what I heard from a couple of people after the tie with England that follow soccer, right? One of my good friends is a big soccer guy. He said that they outplayed England. even though they tied, they outplayed England. And then Sam from England heard me say that on the air yesterday and actually got like pretty pissed off, it seemed. Not pissed off, but like passionate, right?
Really?
And he was like, come on, LOL. You know, the sarcastic LOL, which I always hate. You know, they didn't outplay us, blah, blah, blah. And then he got into a back and forth with one of our other listeners.
Really?
And it was, like, not heated. But
that's good pride right there. National pride.
Yeah. And they kind of went back and forth for multiple tweets. And I read through it because I enjoyed seeing both sides of view, right? The guy who's from England who thinks USA did not outplay England. And then the guy from the USA who's a big soccer fan that's claiming that they did outplay England. And so I'm reading all this kind of stuff. And it's cool seeing both vantage points, right? And so today, it kind of seems like Iran would be playing the USA role that USA played against England. Like you said, they're going to try to play for a draw because USA, A, couldn't lose to England.
They'll correct if I'm wrong, but I don't think USA tried to play for a draw. I think they just had a couple
chances.
That's
what Sam from England said. He was very adamant about it.
I don't know. I read otherwise. Maybe that's an American... You know, slant that I read. I'm not looking to argue. I'll argue about, Joel Embiid or Eagles defense. But, on that sense, I don't know. I don't know. I just know that I've enjoyed it. I want to see them advance.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to see them advance. That would be a big loss if you can't beat Iran.
Especially when going into it, everybody said the USA was pretty much a lock to get out of their group to start. And then, of course, when you tie with Wales, that changes everything.
Yeah.
Even with England in your group, when you tie with Wales, that changes the thought process on everything. Everybody thought that, even the people that talk about it for a living, soccer, they thought, all right, USA probably comes away with the second spot out of this group. And now all of a sudden, you need a win or you go home. And that's exciting. Like, a win or go home match is awesome.
Let's go, man. 2:00. USA, USA. So I want to ask you, because we touched on this subject right before the World Cup, before the U.S. men's initial game, right? Before the first match. And I want to talk to you about it because it got lost and we never really dove into it. But it's a good time to talk about it. When do you remember feeling very nationalistic, very that national pride? That's not, because we're a country, a melting pot.
Right.
Right? Like, we all come from different places. We all have a different ethnicity. Right. Sans the Native Americans. And we, my people come from Italy, your people come from Lithuania, and we're here. When's the last time you were nationalistic?
Well, last time I have to think about that because it's not been great. If we're being honest with ourselves, it hasn't been all that fun here in the last like 5 years on both sides of the spectrum, because that's what it pretty much is now at this point, is two sides of the spectrum. And I like to live in my little middle. I know you do too.
Yeah.
You guys are both wackos on both
right.
sides. But I, like, my first, I do remember I was a kid. Listen, I was very young, but the aftermath of 9/11, right, I was 8 years old when that happened, and kind of... I didn't watch the news when I was a kid, but like it was on all the time, and seeing everybody kind of band together afterward. Now, you could speak on that way more than I can because I was 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old when, as those years went on. But just kind of seeing the country come together. I remember I was at the Phillies game, Phillies Mets.
Yeah.
When the announcement was made that they got Bin Laden. And I remember, the Phillies and Mets fans, arm in arm, chanting USA, USA.
Yeah, I remember.
Which
was incredible.
That was really cool to have been able to experience, like be there and experience that with fellow Americans. It didn't matter what jersey they were wearing. I'm trying to think exactly.
Well, if we narrow it down to sports, right? Team USA events.
I remember TJ Oshie. Hockey.
Yeah.
Remember, he took over.
Yeah, he did.
That's when they lost to Canada, I believe. Yeah. Canada won the Olympics that year. I think
was
they
that
won
the Canada Cup.
No, I think it was the actual Olympics. I think Canada won gold and USA won maybe silver or bronze. But TJ Yoshi, I remember, took over. He became an American icon.
Did you ever watch Miracle?
Yes.
Which is a great movie. Yeah. In fact, a buddy of mine worked on it, Tim Chambers. It's a great movie. And it's one of the most iconic. And again, it was wild, right? Because, you know, the Russia game was the semifinals. That wasn't even the gold medal game.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I'm, 10 years old? You know, like, it's right in the sweet spot, right? And it was the most amazing thing in the world. Because they were all professionals, and they were all, like, these robots. And I'll give you another one off of the Miracle is when the Russians came to Philadelphia. You know that story.
Yeah.
The Russia team, that Soviet team.
And the Flyers.
Right. They come and, you know, they do this barnstorming thing throughout the NHL. In fact, somebody's got to remember this. So they do this barnstorming, they're playing all the NHL teams. And their best shot, like the NHL's best shot to beat them, was Montreal, because Montreal was the best team, and they got smoked.
Yeah,
and then it was wild that Flyers just beat them up,
and everyone hated the Flyers outside of Philly, right?
Right, and then everybody loved the Flyers,
right? Of course,
it was the greatest because like the Flyers come to the NHL rescue. It was amazing, and then they walked off the ice because the Flyers were too physical. Like, could you imagine?
Yeah, Ned Snyder had to make them go back out there, or they weren't going to get paid.
Right, and could you imagine this, right? Just imagine
your squad.
This town, right? This city. It's one of the great stories that's never been really told. I mean, it's been told here and there, but it's such a great story because of our physical nature, right? That we live in this town, you know, the hard scrabble kind of thing, this town that we, you know, how we are, that we are basically the stand up for North America.
Right.
Right? Like,
oh, the birthplace of our country, damn it.
Exactly. And it was in Philadelphia, you know, we're from Philadelphia, we fight. Not to quote Chip Kelly.
I wish somebody else said that line, damn
it's
it.
It's one of the greatest.
God.
It's one of the greatest lines ever. Uttered by a guy who was so un-Philadelphia-like.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Like,
Screw you, creepo.
There's nothing Philadelphia about him. His personality, nothing about it. Anyway, they come on and they just beat the daylights out of him. And, you know, they beat him on the scoreboard. It wasn't just, they just wanted nothing to do with the Flyers checking.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really cool.
Look, I still love, as a baseball guy, the World Baseball Classic. I think that's a lot of fun, and I love that they put together a super team for this year. Now, unfortunately, Bryce isn't going to be playing in it because of his injury, but they got a nice squad, so I'll be repping USA in the World Baseball Classic this offseason. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I do too. I like, but, you know, that's not... It's a more, if you think about the list of Team USA sporting events.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The reason
I don't
why
think that makes the
yeah,
top
the reason
10.
Why I say it now is because the Olympics brought back baseball, but it happens during the season, and so
yeah,
you have remember Luke Williams was supposed to be on Team USA, but he got called up by the Phillies, and it was like, oh man, that's a big shot for Team USA. Like, really, Luke Williams? Like,
yeah, well, that's why it's, you know.
Whereas the World Baseball Classic, I'm excited because you have legit, like, you have the all-star team out there, which is awesome. But I get that it doesn't reach NBA, Olympic basketball, Team USA.
I mean, there was something, that first dream team.
Yes.
Because what preceded it was an amazing story, right? The fact that we never used pros. That we always were amateurs, right? It was always college kids.
Right.
And we were tired of losing. And then they just go in and they just clean the doors and
everyone. Yeah.
Like, that was awesome. Like, I, you know, that, like, I remember feeling the American pride.
Yeah.
Like, wow, like, take that, motherfathers.
From that same year, there's a documentary about it called The Other Dream Team, which is the Team Lithuania.
Right.
Which was the, you know, first year out of Soviet Union control. And they played, remember, that's when they wore the tie-dye shirts. The Grateful Dead, you know, funded them the shirts because they didn't have money.
Right.
You know, they just escaped from the Soviet Union. So they didn't have any money to actually play in the Olympics. So the Grateful Dead, you know, come together and raise a bunch of money for Team Lithuania. And USA beat them like by like 50 points in a game, right? And one of the players actually went to the locker room and grabbed his camcorder.
Wow,
and
really?
Sat on the baseline and started videotaping for his own personal collection of Team USA dunking all over him. I mean, that's how dominant they were that a player that was on the team for Team Lithuania went back to the clubhouse, went back to the locker room to grab his recorder to start taking video.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, that's, you know, like, that's outrageous when you think about it. Right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, how great is that? But, you know, it's nuts is that you go back to 88 and, you know, they lose, you know? That was the Danny Manning year. John Thompson was the head coach. Look at this. That's incredible. Look at his names on the 1988 Team USA. You ready? Willie Anderson, Stacy Augman, Hersey Hawkins, Dan Marley, Danny Manning, Mitch Richmond, David Robinson, Charles Smith. I remember he went to Pittsburgh. And, like, that was a big deal. Right? Because they, you know, they lose.
Yeah.
And we're like, what? Like, that can't happen. We got to own basketball. You know? That's nuts. That was, it's an incredible thing. That's why at 2 o'clock, this thing's a big deal.
Yeah. Fired up for it.
You know?
My buddy Matt just texted me. He said he remembered watching Oshie shootout in a Denny's parking lot in Nevada. It was 5:30 in the morning. He used to, you know, he was in a band. They toured, and so they were in their van watching Team USA and
that's
hockey.
That's fantastic.
5:30 in the morning out
that's
west.
Strong, that's a strong move.
And he said there was a lot of elderly people going in for the early bird special at 5:30 in the morning, and they were looking at these kids like, what are these dudes doing?
That's fantastic. I love it. That's great. It really is. That's great. I want you to think about this stuff because the one thing that came up last week when we started this thing and we never really finished it, but the Michael Phelps was an awesome. I remember being like really, you know, feeling American pride and loving Michael Phelps and you know,
get your Michael Phelps on, man.
Did you find it?
I know it's out there somewhere.
You gotta find it
in the vault.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
You know, so
obviously,
anyway.
Before everything happened, Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
That was America pride. Now,
that's a shame.
Stuff came out after that.
Like,
so.
Like, that's a shame, dude. Like, that's just that's one of the worst stories. Like, the biggest drag that here was this bastion of, you know, I do things the right way. And he's supposed to be the bastion of goodness. And it turns out he's just. You know,
bit of a creep.
Yeah. And he was a fugazi.
Yeah.
Like that, no good. Anyway, let's chronicle that. I want to come up with the GOAT 10. The 10 USA moments. All right?
All right.
So let's think about that. Let's get it off on the phones. Let's go to Chris. You get it started. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, buddy. How are you, sir?
Yo, Chris. What's up, brother?
Oh, man.
How you
living
been, man?
Dream, living the dream. So I was listening, guys. You totally did my thunder, but I'm going to repeat it anyway because I was 12 years old in 1992 and watching the Dream Team come out. Like, that was, to me, as a little kid, that was the All-Star game every single night.
Yes.
That was everything. And then, I mean, how could you not be patriotic? Because I know everyone did the whole other professional. I'm 12 years old. I didn't care.
Right.
I wanted to watch exactly what happened. I wanted to watch that Lithuania game where you had guys coming out just dunking every single play. And that, as a 12-year-old, gave me that nationalistic pride because it was like, look at America beating the living S out of everyone.
Right, especially when it came to, you know, it was everybody else's pros against our amateurs. And I remember, it's funny, like, when you think about when you were a kid and you're not worldly enough and you go, you know, because I kept thinking the same thing, like, how come we get penalized and have to play with our amateurs when our pro guys would go over there and be a wrecking ball?
And I really think that itself was the impetus behind making the NBA truly a global sport. Because leading up to that, you had people in other countries that knew about the NBA, but after that Olympics, everybody got on board. So you had people like Iverson who could show up in China and hundreds of thousands of people would run into the square. So, you know, I really think, you know, that itself was more than just about patriotism. I think it was about, you know, the dominance of a sport that we all love to watch. Want to squeeze this in here. Going to sound like one of those big whiny liberal progressives, but for today's game, considering who we're playing, I don't care what the United States does as long as we recognize the fact that there's a lot of terrible things going on in the world, especially in Iran. So
yes.
I wish all those people that are...
That political landscape's real. I mean, listen, you know, the stuff that happens in that country, it's terrible.
Yeah, and it's... And
the inequity is awful.
We were the... And think about what we're talking about. Some of the best experiences are when the United States rises up, right, when we beat the bad guy. And right now, I just want to see people being taken care of. And I hope, again, the United States men team does it the right way. Because as far as I'm concerned, we're just looking at another version of the Russia that I grew up with as a kid in the 80s. So I think it's time to you know, I'm going to dust off my patriotism for the day. That's the kind of guy I'm going to be for today. But I still hope it works out for the individuals in that country. And brother, you take care. And if I don't talk to you, you enjoy your holiday.
Ah, Merry Christmas to you too, buddy.
Take care, bro.
Thanks, Chris. Good stuff, buddy. All right, 610-632-0975. So we're having this conversation, as you can, as I love this stuff. Kind of chop it up with you guys. Our soccer experts, feel free to chime in and give us a thumbnail of the match today. We have the vault coming up in about 20 minutes.
Nice melting pot. You used that term earlier. Speaking about our country, but a nice melting pot of the vault today.
Love it. Love the melting vault. The melting pot vault. Then we got Jeff McClain, 11:30. 12:30 today, excuse me. And we got Doc Rivers at 1. Talk a little Sixer basketball. 610-632-0975. Cuz Ready with the Tunis right here, 97 by the Fanatic. And look, you know, today when we look at Team USA, they're plus 100 for the win. So it's like even money to win the match. And you could bet it on the Bet Parks app. They got it right there, the Bet Parks app. In fact, we love it because our Friday haunt is the Parks Race and Sportsbook Inside Chickies and Pete's in Malvern. It's awesome where you could bet the games and then go, you watch them and eat crab fries, or you can go right to the Bet Parks app where it's right there on your phone. Boom. And you can take yellow cards, you can shots. I mean, you name it, you could play same game parlays right there. They got everything. Every game becomes an event with the Bet Parks app. New customers, in fact, when you use the code Fanatic, can get up to $750 in sportsbook credit if your first bet is not a winner. BetParks.com has all the details. You got to be in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. You got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Fanatic Sports Update.
A good night for the Sixers. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this update is brought to you by Spring Garden.
The Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 11 a.m. across the Delaware Valley. Russ is 12.5.
Ah, he's always he always
one
makes
of our
smile.
Fine engineers.
He always makes you smile. I don't think he tries to, but he does.
No, he does. He's great.
He actually wants to zap the happiness out of you.
Yes, he does. He's the devil. Not really, but no. We talk, we joke about it.
Oh, dude, by the way, because I was about to say, he's a mean one, Mr. Yeah. Grinch. Did you see the trailer of a new spinoff of The Grinch?
No.
Called The Mean One.
Really?
So TV Todd was on a few weeks ago. He's on with us every Friday. But remember a few weeks ago we talked about the clown where the movie was so violent that people were leaving?
Yes.
So the same creators and the same actor who plays this evil clown is playing the Grinch, but it's going to be like a slasher film.
Get out.
Yeah, so he's going to Whoville. And he's taking
he's whacking people.
He's whacking who's.
What?
Yeah, so it's going to be a rated R, maybe even worse, holiday movie.
I saw another one. There was like Santa's a Badass.
Yeah, they've been doing that a couple of times.
That's called a new Silent Night or whatever.
Yeah.
I forget. Maybe that was an old, I don't know, whatever it was.
But they've done, no, that's new.
Yeah.
So there's a new one coming out this year, but there's now like three
Santa's
or
like
four.
A Badass, yeah. Like type of thing.
There's been a couple recently. So now all of a sudden.
He's like a vigilante.
Right. We talked about it last week with TV Todd of every single year there seems to be all right, what's the new way to make a movie? And it seems like the new one is making a badass Santa Claus.
Yeah. 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 Because
there was one a few years ago where he was being tracked. And, he had a
GPS tracker.
Yeah, a GPS tracker on Santa Claus, and he was taking people out,
was he?
No, yeah.
I missed that one.
So that's like a new thing, is the badass Santa Claus. But this one is the evil Grinch called the Mean One.
The evil Grinch. Look at that.
And they made him look like the Grinch.
Did they really?
Yeah, but like basically a darker version of the Jim Carrey movie.
I think, by the way, that Grinch was a great Grinch.
Yeah, it was a great Grinch. But this guy's like, evil. And he's...
Yeah. And you got Sean Payton in there.
Mitch from Phoenix.
Yeah. By the way, Hutch says Violent Night, it's called.
Violent Night. That would make more sense.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I saw it in the game. Whatever game I was watching last night.
I think it was the Sixers one, maybe, or Monday Night Football.
Probably
I saw the
Sixers,
commercial.
Yeah. By the way, Steelers last night.
Yeah, good call on that one.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, though. There's some bad teams out there.
Yes.
The Colts are just, they're just horrible.
Yeah, I don't know what, And you don't know where the end is in sight for some of these teams.
I know.
Like, the Colts had a decent squad.
Yeah,
they go all in on Wentz.
Yeah.
He's a disaster, as we know. And they try to stay with Matt Ryan because, remember, that entire offensive line's first-round picks.
Yeah.
Like, they're a talented bunch, but they're a mess.
Yeah, they are. They're hard.
Like, when are the Texans ever going to not be the Texans ever again?
You know what's funny about them is that when they first get into the league, they're good.
Well, you have Arian Foster. You have
Arian Foster, Matt Schaub.
Hopkins.
Remember, Matt Schaub was from Westchester.
Yeah.
And he was good. Matt Schaub was good. He was a backup in Atlanta.
Yep. And he put up like 400 yards a couple of times.
He was really good.
Yeah.
And then he threw, got them to the playoffs, the whole thing. Then he threw a pick six. He had like a rash of like three or four, like I think there were three of them. It was like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Where he threw three pick sixes and he was never the same.
Who was the other receiver before Hopkins? They had another stud. I think he was on their. I think he was on the team when they first started. Arian Foster was a couple years later. They drafted him.
Yeah, I got
Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson.
He was a stud, dude.
Dude, Andre Johnson. Wow,
that's a bust out.
That's a great. Wow, that's awesome. Texans, look, that's crazy. 2002, they came in.
Wasn't D'Amico Ryan on that team?
How about this, dude?
Because the Eagles got a linebacker. I'm pretty sure it was D'Amico. Wasn't he on the Texans?
Look at this team. Here's their roster. You ready? David Carr. Remember, they thought David Carr was going to be it.
Yeah.
And he turned out to be a bust. Jabbar Gaffney. He later came to the Eagles.
Yes, he did.
Look at this team's horrible. This is their first. I'm looking at their initial team in 02. I mean, you're not going to remember any of these guys. Jeff Posey. Aaron Glenn is the one guy that you'll remember. Aaron Glenn was a good player. Wow, that's nuts. They were terrible. They were terrible. Let's see real quick.
Also happens, expansion team tough.
Yeah.
Up to start.
Andre Johnson comes the next year.
Okay, and then Foster was the following. Foster was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah. They had Dominic Williams, too. Do you remember him?
I do not, actually.
And, wow, Dominic Wilkins. Yeah, he started for a couple years with them. And then here they go. They're 2-14, 6-10, 8-8, 8-8. Then they go to the playoffs. They were 10-6 in 2011. And here's your team. Arian Foster, Matt Schaub, Jacoby Jones. Remember him?
I do, actually, yeah.
Owen Daniels, your tight end. And then defensively, J.J. Watt, of course. Brian Cushing. I used to love Brian Cushing.
Linebacker.
Yes. D'Amico.
Yeah, D'Amico. And then he came here. And now he's an incredible defensive coordinator. Yep.
Connor was there. Look at that. Kareem Jackson. He was a great corner, man. Jonathan Joseph. They had a great defense. Look at that. That's awesome. Who thinks? That's why I love doing this. Who thinks we're going to be like the Texans come up? Danny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Dan.
Hey, guys. What's going on, man?
What's up, brother?
So I love the topic about finding sports history that has U.S. pride.
And yes.
Two of them come to mind. I know Tunis already talked about the one with T.J. Oshie, but in the 2010 Olympic finals, one thing that I remember is it went to overtime, and U.S. versus Canada, and I remember Zach Parise scored a tying goal with like 2 minutes left, and Ryan Miller was out. I think he got the MVP of the Olympics, even though they lost. Ryan Miller was the goalie for the U.S.
Yeah,
and Philly fans are so great because the next time both of those two guys came to play against the Flyers at the Wachovia, they got a standing ovation. That's how awesome Philly fans are. Like, we know what you guys did. And
how awesome is that?
Awesome. I mean, Ryan Miller was that good in the Olympics.
He was ridiculous. He was good. That's right. Did he make something good? It was, like, ridiculous. Like, they're like 50-some saves, 55 saves. So it was some crazy numbers that he was putting up.
It was unreal. It was awesome. I remember being out with all my friends. It was like a 11 a.m. game. I think the time was around that. And we were all out watching that. That was great. The other one, I was at game one. It was a three-game series. It was the 1996 first called the World Cup, but was a continuation of the Canada Cup. Game
yes.
One.
Yes, I remember that World Cup.
Yes. Now, game two and game three were both in Canada. And we lost game one in overtime at the Coors State Center. Game two and three. In game three, we were losing. I want to say it was 2-1 with a couple minutes left, and then Brett Hull deflection.
Wow.
Then they rolled. They scored like three goals in a row, and won.
Wow, Brett Hull, man, that's awesome. I remember that,
dude. It was unreal. Do me a favor, and you're going through the rosters of the Texans. Go through the rosters of both the '96 Canada team and the U.S. team, even the Russian team, dude. No one can tell me hockey's better now. Look at these names; they're all Hall of Fame. All first ballot.
Well, or the Red Wings, right? Fedorov, right? I remember that team. I remember Matt Sundin was on like the Finnish team. They were incredible. I'll call it up.
Yeah. And then and Forsberg with Sweden. I mean, they'd even make it to the finals, and the Swedish team was phenomenal. So that always gave me. It's probably the best sport that you can, aside from the dream team in basketball, where you can actually get, you know, U.S. pride because the rest of the world is that good.
Is that good? Oh, dude, here you go. You ready?
Yeah.
How about this? Brian Leach, Darian Hatcher, Phil Housley, Chris Chelios, Mike Madonna, Johnny LeClaire, Amonte, Brett Hull, Patty LaFontaine, Keith Kachuk. Oh, this team's unbelievable. Steve Kowalczyk. Yeah, Monty. Wow, man. Richter. And that's
Mike
amazing.
Richter.
Yeah. And Jim Carrey. Wow, that's awesome, dude. I'll go through it. Yeah.
Yeah, look at Canada's team, and Martin Brodeur wasn't even the starting goalie.
That's ridiculous. Hey, that's a great call, Dan. Thanks, buddy. I love that stuff. All right, open the vault, Chunas. Go ahead.
You know, when we began opening this vault nearly 2 hours ago, we had no real idea what we'd find inside. As it turns out, we haven't found very much.
All right, well, today is a fun vault. Like we said, it was a melting pot, a little bit of everything. But we'll start off with something that we mentioned. We got to get this one out of the way, as we are talking USA Pride today. Well, you know, Sean Andrews is very prideful of Team USA, especially one Michael Phelps.
That's what we catch you to. Get my Michael Phelps on, my Michael Phelps. Hey! Don't my Michael Phelps on, get my Michael Phelps on, my Michael Phelps.
I thought he does Andrews. Does he go into that too?
What was available in the vault was what you heard. Can I ask you? What? Why? Was there a reason?
Yeah, well, you know, the whole thing, it was hit. So Phelps talked about smoking weed.
Okay.
So, you know, that was the whole thing.
Genesis
of getting my Michael Phelps on was I'm getting high.
Ah, okay. See, I did not know this.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I am learning
that
something
new.
I thought Sean Andrews was just very proud of Michael Phelps and proud to be an American.
All right. He was just proud.
That's awesome.
He was proud of getting high, baby.
All right, that's a great one. All right, we're going way back to...
By the way, Sean Andrews was one of those dudes that if he was, like, all together, would have been a great player.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Going way back to 1972, Anthony, as we saw the release of Pong.
Oh,
the gaming system Pong... here is a little instructional video that came out in 1972
on this day.
What does your family do on those stay-indoors rainy afternoons? Or on those cold, blustering winter days? Families who are content to let television do its thing often find themselves at its mercy for a choice of entertainment. While people who want television to do their thing entertain themselves with Odyssey, the electronic game of the future, and the family's best foul-weather friend. Odyssey can be attached to any brand television receiver with a screen size of 18 to 25 inches, either black and white or color.
Black and white.
An ordinary screwdriver is the only tool needed to attach this Odyssey antenna game switch to the antenna terminals on the back of the television set. Once the antenna game switch is attached, you can select the TV position for regular television viewing or the game position for playing your favorite Odyssey game. Odyssey is played through an unused VHF channel of your television set. It operates on 6 common-sized C-cell batteries, which come packed with the unit.
Wow, isn't that wild? So that's 1972?
Yeah.
That's
18
amazing.
To 25-inch TVs, Ant.
Black or white. Black and white or color.
And it's crazy. Like, you know, 45, 50-inch TV is almost nothing nowadays. You go to some, you know,
I know.
Some of these people's houses. Everyone's got like a 60, 70 inch TV.
Well, I mean, think about, you know, what you're playing right now. Are you still in heat?
Huh?
Think about what you're playing right now.
The Call of Duty, yeah.
Right. But, you know, you're in heat, right? You're playing that game.
Yes.
And think about
how
what's that? 70, that's 50 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So in 50 years, they go from dots, right? Basically, they're dots that you play ping pong.
To what looks like human beings.
Right. To like what would be war, a simulation of war.
Yeah. It's really crazy.
No, I mean, that's unreal, right? Like, you know, I'm in the throes of the sports, like, you know, with me and Monster.
Oh, yeah, of
playing
course.
Our sports game.
And they're just getting more and more ridiculous in terms of
it's
graphics.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
Like, I love, they do this a lot with LeBron because he's been playing the league so long. They do the side-by-side of here's how LeBron looked in his first year of 2K.
Right.
And now.
Yeah.
And, right, like, his first year, it's just like a cartoon. Whereas now it's like, oh my God,
it's his image.
That's LeBron James.
Yeah, it's his image.
Which is crazy. 4 years later, they released a expansion pack of Pong that also had hockey on it, where you control two bricks.
Right, you're the goalie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's how that commercial sounded.
You're watching the most exciting game you will ever see on your TV set. Telstar by Coleco, with three different games. Telstar Tennis, with digital scoring, variable speeds. Telstar Hockey. Each player controls a goalie plus a forward on the other side. Oops, a goal. And Telstar Singles Handball, a game you play yourself. Telstar Handball, Tennis, Hockey. All three at an exciting low price. For great family fun, hit your TV to a Telstar. By Coleco.
Wow, that's amazing.
That was 1976. All right, so today, I believe it was 1929 was the year, was the birth of one Jackie Stallone, the mother of Sly.
Jackie Stallone.
And Sly's brother, Frank Stallone. And so I figured, in her honor, I don't believe she's with us anymore. In her honor, I might as well play...
Jackie!
I might as well play one of her proudest moments, at least I would imagine it was her proudest moments, when both Sly and Frank shared the screen at the same time. This, of course, much better than Adrian's version. So there's what that's from Rocky One, obviously,
dude,
in the very beginning. But then Rocky Two.
They're like the neighborhood jukebox, you know, those guys just singing all the time.
So I'm sure she was proud seeing both her sons on the big screen at the same time. All right, do you want...
Frank was an accomplished singer.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But
he was a great movie theme singer.
Forever the other brother, though, unfortunately for him.
Correct.
There was a movie called Fred Claus. Did you ever see Fred Claus?
Yeah, I love Fred Claus.
He's in it, Frank. They had the other...
Yes.
It was the...
Yes.
The session with all the other brothers.
Yes,
and
that's right.
And, of course, Frank Claus's brother was Santa Claus. And Frank Stallone was in there talking about Sylvester Stallone. It was awesome.
Yeah, I remember. That's
a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Paul Giamatti as Santa.
Right.
I love that movie, man.
And that is one that's always on the in the rotation.
Oh, definitely. Always on. All right, we have time for one more. Today is Stephon Diggs' birthday, so I was going to play the Minneapolis Miracle because, remember, the Eagles then play the Vikings the following round in the NFC Championship game, so that's an important moment because I don't know how they fare against the Saints. We don't really know. It's Russell Wilson's birthday, so I was going to play his...
Russell Wilson!
His extremely cringy social media account that he has, but I figured... why not end it on what would have been his birthday today? Vin Scully.
Ah, oh, that's awesome.
Here's a story of him talking about Mike Matheny, then manager of the Cardinals, and the time he got pooped on by a bird.
Bottom of the second inning, no score, and the subject is Mike Matheny. Matheny, 44 years old, come the end of September, born in Ohio, lives in Missouri. But he was not even 18 years old, and he came to the University of Michigan with a major league dilemma. Earlier that summer, the Toronto Blue Jays had drafted a catching prospect in the 31st round, but Matheny decided to honor his college commitments, but he had a lot of doubts. Anyway, Matheny showered, ready to go to class for the first day, walked out of the dormitory, stomach knotted, and a pigeon defecated directly on his head. Now, conventional wisdom would suggest the bird bombing was a sign that he should hit the road. But Matheny had to go back and clean up. The pitch to Uribe, a strike, 0-1 the count. He went back and showered and cleaned up and decided all of a sudden he was at peace. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to go to college. And there was one other thing that happened. The strike one pitch swung on and missed, 0-2.
He's amazing.
Matheny went to his first class, and when he reached class, he noticed a pretty field hockey player named Kristen. And he would marry her and live happily ever after.
Wow, he's the best.
Yeah, how he just goes in and out.
He's the greatest,
play
man.
By play. How about that Juan Uribe? Was up to bat.
Juan Uribe. That's fabulous. And he was this, you know, field
hockey player.
He goes all, and then he would marry her. He's the best. All right, 610.
I was
going to
play this from Russ.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring. Yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. Yeah, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited.
Oh, so, no, make it stop.
I don't blame anybody.
My God. He could be Captain Corn.
I don't blame anybody from that Seahawks team.
Are you kidding
that
me?
That didn't really rock with Russ. And I don't blame anybody with the Broncos now. Because this came out when he was still with Seattle. Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Cornball.
Mr. Corn. It's Captain Corn. Oh, my God.
Like, I feel secondhand embarrassment for them. Right.
Yeah,
that's
the cringe.
Same way.
That's a cringe. We've all experienced that where you're like, nah, man, don't do that. Like, and you got the cringe.
Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you got to be unlimited.
Oh,
you
know,
you got to have
a
thought process of being unlimited. So...
There's more, but I'll
I'm good if I never hear that. That's horrible. God forbid. All right.
Unlimited.
610-632-0975. We got a good hour that I want to get with you guys. We got a lot going on, but I see Joe wants to talk a little World Cup. Give us some World Cup thoughts. You know, listen, let's analyze the game a little bit. And we're going through the dream scenarios of USA Sports. So the dream team is obviously number one or number two behind Miracle on Ice. But times when sports gave you nationalistic pride, man. Well, we're all about Team USA, like today against Iran. So we're coming up with the GOAT list of that. 610-632-0975. Of course, the Birds and some Sixers. Doc Rivers will join us at 1. We'll talk to him. Hey, let's talk about the Bet Parks app for a second. So speaking of Team USA and the World Cup, you can bet on Team USA right now. In fact, there are even money to win the match. Now you can go, you're not going to bet Iran. You have a draw, and then you have Team USA even money. So, you know, all they got to do is, even if the Iran turtles up, I think, you know, if you can just get one in, you're good. And then who knows, maybe they pour it on. So Team U, you can build same game parlays, like this, who scores, Pulisic, like whatever, you know, all that stuff. It's a lot of fun. They have all the NBA, all the NFL, all the college football, a big weekend of college football. It's all right there at your fingertips on the Bet Parks app. Go to betparks.com. They have all the details, like you can get up to $750 risk-free credit if your first bet is not a winner. You got to be in PA or New Jersey. You got to be 21. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 11:30 across the Delaware Valley. 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers. That's where Philly gets engaged. Big news, Shunis. I was asking for it. That's right. It's back. Thank you, Coach. 97.5 The Fanatics Holiday Wheel is back. This year, we're going to be spinning the Holiday Wheel three times a day with the John Kincaid Show at 8 a.m. with us at noon and with the best show ever at 4 p.m. You got a chance to win some amazing prizes. Register now at 975thefanatic.com. Starting Monday, December the 12th, we'll start calling names. The Fanatic Holiday Wheel presented by Rally House. Rally House. Every wheel spinner will automatically receive a $50 Rally House gift card.
Which is awesome.
That is tremendous, dude. Rally House, your city, your house, Rally House. Register for the Holiday Wheel right now. That's a big deal, dude.
Yeah, the $50 gift card. It's part of
the package.
That's awesome. When we did the show there, I scooped up Christy. She wanted an Eagles knit cap, and she was wearing it today.
Yeah, really?
She's all eagled up.
She's all eagled up. That's awesome. That was Christy's do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do-do-do.
That's good.
Hey, let me ask you a question. You know, we're talking about Team USA, and I want to get to it, and the whole thing about American pride. One of the things about America too is, you know, fighting City Hall. Like, you can fight City Hall, right? Look at people in China right now holding up blank pieces of paper.
Uh-huh.
All right, you can fight City Hall. Have you ever been part of a movement, a Fight City Hall movement? Like, here's the deal. So they're trying to build warehouses, like these monster warehouses in Mullican Hill, dude.
Which is
like right over my corner.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. And it's like these blocks of like where they have this beautiful farmland that they want to build these ugly warehouses, right? Like, you know. And then you're going to have the monster trucks coming through. It's, you know, you're turning a rural area into the horrible, you know, armpit. And for the life of me, I don't understand how the mayor could actually, you know, be down with that, you know. But so people are telling me about it. I go, it's horrible. It's why you got kids. We have kids and we chose there to raise our kids.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Couldn't imagine. I mean, I grew up there, right? So you're there.
There's
now.
There's plenty of places that are, there, you know, where you could put it that aren't residential. They shouldn't be in residential areas. They should be, you know, now I get it's close to a highway, a major thoroughfare like 322.
Right.
And the bridge. But, you know, dude, you're going to put it in our backyard?
It's still also off the highway. You know it. Like 15, it is. 20 minutes. It's a pain in the ass.
It is. So, but I've never been a part. I I've never done it before.
No, there's a town
meeting on Thursday night.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, the people are like, you got to go. Have you ever been one of these?
No, I've not been, though.
I need people who are, they fight City Hall. I always find that interesting. You know, fight the man.
Go get him.
You're like, yeah. You should be there with me, man.
Yeah, should. Town over. I'm
kidding. Yeah, you're abandoning it.
Town over now, man.
Yeah, you're out. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's up, Joey? How are you?
I'm pretty excited right now. During the break, Ecuador tied it, but Senegal scored 2 minutes later, and I got them plus 220 on the Parks Bet app. So
nice.
Looking good, looking good.
I'm going to root Senegal for you, my man.
Yes, thank you. I want to talk a little World Cup.
Yeah.
Obviously, big game today with the U.S. I think they're going to have to win. It's one of our enemies, you know, Iran. I think they're a better team, but Iran's not a walkover. So...
I saw they beat Wales. Now, let me ask. You sound like a man that knows what he's talking about here. Now, they beat Wales. What was it that he scored the 2 goals in extra time? What was the why were they able to break through and not U.S.?
I think the U.S. got a little complacent. You know, they were up, got complacent, just let them score. That's what happens. Iran's actually a better team than Wales. They're 20th in the world. We're 16th. So it's a pretty close matchup.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
now they just need a draw to move on. So they're going to turtle up. Are they going to play real conservative? Go 10 men behind the ball?
I think they might, but I think we could definitely get a goal against them. No problem. Get one early. We got some guys that have been on the bench side that can go forward, that could score. I think we win. I think we win easily, get the girl a goal pretty early, and then from there, I don't think they'll be able to score on us.
I like it. So the key's going to be strike early and draw them out of that shell, right?
Absolutely.
All right. See that, Tunis? So I like the strategy parts of the games, man. That's good. That's good knowledge by you, Joe. Good man, buddy. I'm going to root Senegal for you. It's where you cash.
And then tomorrow, you have to root Poland for me because that's my squad.
Oh, yeah? All right. You get that Lewandowski?
Yes, absolutely. I hate nobody in the world besides the Argentinians because when we were in Russia, we couldn't get from St. Petersburg back to Moscow to get to the game we were going to. All the trains were booked by Argentinians. Every single one of them I met was a jerk. We had to take an overnight bus from St. Petersburg to Moscow to take a 10-hour train to the soccer game we were going to see.
Wow. Oh,
it was
God.
Torture.
So you went, that's pretty awesome. So you were at the World Cup. That's awesome. In Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And, it was worth it. We had a friend. We met a friend over there. Still talk to him, and he helped us out. He got us a bus, took us to, there, got us to where we needed to be. We got to the game in time, and we were able to see it.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. That's great. That's good for you. All right, we got Senegal and Poland for you, all right?
You got it.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
Look, I'm repping Poland.
They're neighbors.
My neighbors. Yeah. Come on now.
You got to, that's so, your...
That's the backup squad.
That's
because I'm USA, red, white, blue.
Right. But if you're not Lithuania, if not USA or Lithuania...
It's Poland.
You got to go Poland because of the neighboring... They're a border town.
Come on now.
Share the same kind of values and a lot of the same customs. Speaking of which, Tunis, I need an update. What's going on with the chips?
Oh, that's a great question.
The Lithuanian chips.
I hope I didn't get ripped off.
I thought that they were going to be in town. Like, all they were going to arrive, dude.
Hold on, Chaz, because I got the email that they were shipped. They were shipped on the 18th.
You got the pea chips.
And it said 3 to 7 work days. So they got shipped on the 18th, so the Saturday, Sunday, the following day, so no. So they should be arriving today or tomorrow.
Wow.
If it follows correctly. So I have to reach out to someone because someone sent me a photo that he purchased said chips and he got his in already.
No. He got the chips?
Yeah.
Tell the people, in case you didn't hear that day, what you ordered from your home country of Lithuania.
Yeah, so there's a company called Chaz Chips, and they're very much like the Pringle of Lithuania because they have all the crazy flavors. It's not just salt and vinegar.
And they're not in a bag.
Barbecue.
In a can?
No, these are in a bag.
Okay.
But they have all kinds of flavors that are traditional Lithuanian flavors, like some of the traditional meals and the food items that I've had Americanized and that I've also had out in Lithuania when I visited twice. But they also made a flavor of a woman's nether regions. And for the show, I figured it would be good to purchase said bag.
Yes.
And I also bought some of the more traditional flavors, which I was going to like.
So you're going to bring them all in one day.
Yeah, and I bought some extra bags of the traditional flavors to, like, you know, give them to my family, but I would be kind of afraid to even. How did you find out about these? And I wouldn't really want to get into that conversation.
Well, I would think the dad's listening, right?
Maybe, maybe not.
Did he bring them up? Was that a topic over Thanksgiving dinner?
He did not bring them up, so maybe we're safe. Or maybe he doesn't not want to bring that topic up during Thanksgiving dinner. But they should be arriving. But our man John
Allen.
You
got all kinds of turkey flavors, barbecue. Yeah.
John L. sent me a photo. It was yesterday. He got them yesterday. No, 2 days ago. Sorry. And he said.
Did he taste them?
I got to ask him. I'll follow up. He said these were premature chips because they came early. They came in a couple days earlier than expected. So he got his shipment early.
All right. Well, you got to ask him what his review is, because you got to do a food review.
Which we will be reviewing, hopefully, today or tomorrow. I'm glad that he got his. That means, you know, he didn't get ripped off, just like I'm hoping I didn't get ripped off.
Yeah, man.
You know, but why would I get ripped off from my own country? They see the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, they see the spelling.
Yeah, they're not going to rip you off. They
I
know
would,
that
I
you're,
hope not.
You're part of it. You're part of the deal.
Let's see. There is a tracking. Hold on. But it doesn't really. No, it just says nothing. Okay. Thanks, guys.
I mean, that's a part of you. You know, that's they're going to see the name. They go, oh, you can't rip this guy off.
No, you can't. So hopefully they're here within the next day or two, and then we can have them on the show for strictly educational purposes. Wow. I also got the, it was what, mussels? And white
that sounded actually good.
It was mussels and white wine.
The mussels chips sounded good.
Yeah.
Like the mussels and white wine sauce with a Belgian beer sounds like a good. That sounds like a. Like a
yeah,
ooh.
It sounds like a nice right. item. So does some others.
Oh,
but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Let's see. Do I have the actual order? I want to see exactly what I got, because I got a couple of stuff.
That's fabulous. All right. One of the other things we were talking about with the Eagles, and I don't want to leave him out, because we did get some bad news today surrounding Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and the lacerated kidney. So that's a big deal. Now, he's not out for the rest of the season. Thankfully, there's no set timetable yet, but the hope is you get him back for the playoffs.
Right. And he's been a big piece. He leads the league in interceptions.
Dude,
so not
only that, he's just a great safety.
Yeah, he is.
He's a great player, man.
That trade still, I have no idea how that happened. Right? Like, I don't know how that worked out.
You know, the two trades that I don't know what happened is
Tennessee.
Yeah.
And AJ Brown.
How does Howie? You know, we're doing some reflecting on the birds this week after, you know, the 10-1 start. 10-1. 10-1. It's amazing. How does Howie do that? How does Tennessee do that?
I don't know. There's been a couple trades. You even go back to Brandon Brooks in Houston. Now, I know Brandon Brooks was dealing with a lot of anxiety. I don't know what the story was when he was in Houston. But remember, I mean, Howie traded, I think, a fourth-round pick for the best right guard in football, arguably.
Yeah. New Orleans, too, yeah.
I mean, there's been some trades recently where Howie's just completely swindled.
The A.J. Brown thing, he's 24 years old.
Yeah, now you have him locked up for 4 years.
But that's what I don't – listen, I mean, I just think that's one of the greatest moves ever. And then you flee – and, like, I know they didn't want to pay Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, but – first of all, why? Why not?
Right. He's,
why? He's why 24. Don't you want to pay a young safety, man, who's a stud?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, these teams, I don't understand what they're doing.
Well, I wonder, maybe it was scheme. New Orleans had him in the slot. They didn't really have him playing as a safety, whereas the Eagles do. A traditional safety. But look at how well he's been. He leads the league in interceptions. He's been making plays constantly.
Well, yeah, but knowing this league and knowing what the strengths are of this league, I don't know. I mean, it makes perfect sense that you would put him in safety.
And it's just so funny, right? Because I go back to the draft, and I was all about drafting Kyle Hamilton. It was not one of these, they made the wrong choice, they shouldn't have drafted Jordan Davis. Like, I never had that reaction. It was just, I wanted a playmaking safety. And I remember you saying that they were never really in on Kyle Hamilton. Yeah.
And, you know, it was funny because they were like, nah, he's not, really, he's not what you think he
right.
is.
But I was.
Because he's not fair. He's not getting those
right,
speed.
Right. But I was intrigued. I wanted a playmaking safety. They get Jordan Davis. I was okay with the Jordan Davis selection. It was just like, damn, you know, they end up getting Hassan Reddick. They get Kazir White. They get James Bradbury. And I go, man, imagine if you had a legit safety. Because at the time, it was Anthony Harris and Marcus Epps.
Right.
And Jaquiski Tartt.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that was your safety, you know, rotation. And I'm like, damn, that kind of sucks. Like, they have a good defense, but they have no help over the top. And then all of a sudden, like right before the season started.
Well, it's amazing. Piece by piece fell into place with the defense. Right? Like, look at the defense. Did you see Ndamukong Suh with the Sixers?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. It was the Sixers game, which is dynamite.
He was really cool. He asked, you know, he went on Twitter and asked Philadelphians to give the best restaurant recommendations.
Yeah,
and awesome. A lot of people sent him a bunch of good ones, and he said he came up with his own like list from all the suggestions, which is cool.
Yeah, no, listen, that's fantastic. Listen, I mean, you know, they've done Howie's done an incredible job at tweaking this roster. I mean, seriously, I can't. If we're reflecting this week, and it's a great week to reflect, and we're reflecting on this team, I mean, you got to be kidding me what they've done. It's been amazing. It really has. 10-1. I'm going to say it over and over again because I still can't believe they're 10-1. And you should see the jealousy by all these other teams, these fans of these other teams. Like when I was at Waste Management this morning to see all the guys off, you know, you got your resident Cowboy fans, out of Viking fan, right? And like, they're so jealous. Oh, you guys are going to lose in the playoffs. 10-1, Holmes. 10-1. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. I got some open lines, actually. First time all day. Let's chat it up. We got Jet McClain coming up at 12:30. So I need you guys right now.
Oh, dude, by the way.
Your USA moments. Yes, what?
John Foley on Twitter, he does the 2008 Phils account. He just posted a McDonald's commercial that includes Dutch and Boa.
Get out.
And I will be playing this commercial on the other side because I don't want to wait till tomorrow's vault to play it.
That's fabulous.
It looks awesome.
Now, what you should do is, off of this, tomorrow's vault should center around athlete commercials.
Sounds good. I like that.
All right. I'll give you some suggestions as well. 610-632-0975. Open lines. You want to jump in? Hey, listen, you know how much I love this town, right? You know how much I love locally owned and operated businesses. And, you know, that's why I started the Yo's. Let's give out Yo's to all of our local businesses right here in Philadelphia. So I want to give a Yo to Peruzzi Nissan. And when I found out they wanted to be part of the Anthony Gargano show, I was thrilled. All right, because the uncle's retired, right? Greg and Paul, they retired. You know, then next thing you know, here comes Fred Peruzzi and his family. They're fantastic. They've been the owners for over 40 years, and they've been a pillar of the community. They themselves support local businesses. That's their mission. In fact, their mission statement is, our business is you. And at Nissan, they've got the best of the best. I mean, their inventory is ridiculous. They got a great GM, Bob Seidenberger, has been with the Peruzzi since the very beginning. And when it comes to that inventory, again, they got everything over there. All right? The new, you got to get over and check it out. The dealership's like a palace. You're going to feel welcome the minute you walk in. That's what I like. You're going to feel welcome about everything. The best part, again, is at Peruzzi Nissan, the new or certified pre-owned vehicle that's on your list is there. You can get it right now. Check it out. They're on Lincoln Highway in Fairless Hills. You can check them out anytime at PeruzziNissan.com. And remember, at Peruzzi, our business is you.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
As we get started, a lot of good stuff. Checky, getting you ready for the that match, which we're looking forward to. And, of course, all your nationalistic pride. So here's what we got so far. If you remember times of USA, USA, USA pride. So we got, in the quest for the top 10, we got the Miracle on Ice, which is the number one. That's the GOAT, right?
Yeah.
The other hockey was the TJ Oshie. What year was that?
That's a great question. Hold on.
I got to get off that. The other hockey that we have is the Flyers-Russia, and where the Flyers had all kinds of USA kind of feel about it. The Dream Team, of course, the 92 Dream Team was the greatest. The Michael Phelps, could you get your Michael Phelps on? Now, do you go Lance Armstrong? Because I don't. I got to, after we find out, I got to cross.
Lose that. No.
He's out, right? So I need five other instances. Like, I'll give you USA Boxing, which I, you know, we used to love. But I'm trying to think of the celebrations, like the U.S. celebrations, where we were at. It was all about nationalistic pride.
By the way, the Oshie was 2014 Olympics.
2014
in Sochi.
Yeah,
against Russia. And so, you know, that adds to it a little bit.
I like that.
If we're coming up with the top 10, I know. You don't, they're not as big as the 92 Dream Team, but you got to put the, was it 08?
Kobe.
Kobe.
Yeah.
Ron and Melo.
Yeah. Where is that? Redeem Team.
Yeah, the Redeem Team, which there's a documentary coming out on Netflix at some point about that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm like kind of half out on that.
I'll watch it because there's, you know, Kobe.
I mean, the Kobe
there's
piece
interviews of Kobe in it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
The Kobe piece, I'm interested in, but I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of out on it.
I hear you.
Not like the 92. That, like, you can't replicate that. It comes off of us using all the amateurs and losing, and then, you know, then the boys said enough's enough.
Right.
Like, that was amazing.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's right behind them, but it's got to be in the 10, I would imagine, the Redeem Team.
Is there a better pitch man than Charles? You know, you think back, do you think to all his, everything he's got now? I just saw him do Dick's Sporting Goods.
Nah, he might be number one. He's on every, well, Shaq is another guy. He's on.
I go Charles, a greater than Shaq.
Well, man, Icy Hot.
The general. He's got Icy Hot.
The general.
The general and the pizza.
Yeah, is he?
Like, I'm out
of
eating
Papa
Jack
John's
pizza.
Or Pizza Hut. I forget which
he's
one he is.
He's Papa John's. I'm out.
So he does the pizza. He's on a ton too.
He is, but he's on. You know, Charles got better brands. Although he does the Subway too. I'm out on the Subway.
Charles is a FanDuel man, which I respect.
Is he, or did he switch
with TNT? I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And, of course, he does the commercials during the tournament.
Oh, the best, the Capital One.
Yeah.
I love the Capital
Those
One.
Those are great.
The Capital One, I'm a big fan of. I don't know why. I'm a big fan of Capital One. You know what it is, too? Like, for the two greatest, it's Capital One Bowl Week.
Yes.
I enjoy, and in the tournament.
Yeah, those are pretty big.
You know, I like it. By the way, I got a yo.
Let me go with this one.
Because we got a yo.
Yo, yo, ma.
All right, I got my man, Boss Hardwood Floors, listening to the show right now. Boss Hardwood Floors, LLC. If you need those old ashy or damaged hardwood floors refinished or some new floors, Boss Hardwood Floors.
Okay.
Built on self-success, which is B-O-S-S. My man.
Oh, Jake Massing with another great one that we need in here, as we talk about often. You have to put Rocky Balboa and taking down
Rocky IV?
Yeah, the Cold War himself.
I mean, we can't put fictitious sporting events in there.
No, come on, he's got to be top 10.
What, Tyrone says yes?
He's not the Cold War. All by himself, Cold War. That's pretty iconic.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? We have always argued this. You and I, and brother, have always argued about the merits of IV. I don't see it. I don't get it. I mean, I just...
He just said it's on USA Network.
Is it really?
Yeah.
USA Network.
That's awesome. Dragon! Oh, man. He climbed that mountain. He escaped the car.
I'm out.
That training montage. It was like 18
minutes
long.
Sad day, man. It's Apollo died.
I know. It's sad. But look.
Duke.
He defended his honor.
You know what I mean? I don't know, dude. You know what's great, though? Every once in a while, one pops on.
Yeah, and you watch it.
And I can't turn away from it. I'll tell you, the greatest.
Oh, come on. He goes, I can, because he loses. You can't go with that.
Oh, God. Scott, one is brilliant. One is actually a good movie. It wasn't cartoonish. I mean, when he goes in, listen. When Apollo finds out he's got no opponent, right? And he's in there with Jurgens, the promoter, in the office. And he's like, who we got? What about Mack Lee Green? Put on 50 pounds, right? Like, you know, oh, and they go through the list. And then he comes up with the bright idea, no Jurgens, because that's very American. No Jurgens, it's very smart. It's the greatest. I mean, come on.
Jurgens seemed like a slime ball.
He was. Yeah,
you know who Jurgens reminds me of in another movie? He reminds me of the guy from the Monstars. The dude that leads the Monstars. The big cigar in his mouth.
The Danny DeVito character.
Is that who
yes.
It is?
Yeah, you're yes. Right. I agree with that.
They're very similar.
Jurgens, yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. And then later when they're going through the pay-per-view numbers, and that's when Duke's watching the news.
Yes.
From the icebox with the challenger, Rocky Balboa. Remember that one? She's the greatest. Like Channel 6,
yeah.
Action News. That's the great. That is the best. Thanksgiving. What do you want a bird? Go out in the alley and eat the bird. That was Philadelphia back then, though. They did capture, like, the feeling of the city.
Yeah.
Like it fit, like that was the city, like that corner bar,
right?
With the broken glass, like that the mirror.
Paulie's trying to fix his hair. He's got like six pieces of hair.
You're on having your life. That's one thing. I'm a business owner. I'm taking a shot.
I'll take a shot.
Uncle Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Uncle Frank.
Hey, happy. Basking in our 10-1 birds Tuesday, huh?
What do you say, buddy?
All right. My man. It's all good. To quote a Temptation lyric, I live the life I love, and I love the life I live. So it's all, I'm blessed.
Hey, God bless.
Everyone had a great Thanksgiving, I trust?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swimmingly?
Anthony, in your turkey bowl, did you hand the ball off to the, your grunt lineman so he can bask in glory?
Yeah, no, he was actually catching the ball. He looked more like Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, well, look, the girls love the quarterback, the backs, and the receivers. So, might have some ups. Andrew, real quick. You sunk my blanket ship. You know, I'm listening to the show, minding my own business. Nice, getting ready for the ball. And then all of a sudden my name comes up, and I get zapped.
You've sunk my blanket ship.
Yeah, right.
What'd you say? That was Uncle Frank?
Yeah, it sounds like something he would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I said, is that a, you know, I'm Mike Tirico. He went, that sounds more like Uncle Frank.
Well, look, I'm in Andrew's thoughts, so that's special.
That's nice.
So, listen, this is unbelievable this season. It seems so surreal, doesn't it? You know, I was thinking, do we have a mode of transportation to jump on for the birds? I mean, we had the Tunis train. The Cuz Cruise was for whom?
It was for the birds.
That was the Eagles.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, that was the Eagles. Cool. Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah, cool. So, you're right. Nice. All right, so we're good. In all seriousness, though, lost in all this hoopla, guys, about the birds, you know, they got to get rid of this special teams coach, Clay. I mean, they could very well lose them a game, or he can lose them a game, or God forbid, a game in the play. It's an issue, right?
Yeah, listen, special teams are an issue. I agree.
Proactive about it.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid, in the playoffs, you imagine?
Yeah, no, well, listen, anyway, I hear you. Listen, they got to button it up. Yeah.
Real quick, and then I'll let you go. I think, check me, but talking about patriotism, the 76 Olympic boxing, I believe, off the top of my head, I want to say Sugar Ray Leonard won the gold. There was a couple renowned boxers. That I remember George Foreman winning the gold, and that was, I don't know, 68.
Sugar Ray, man, that's the greatest. Yeah.
It's awesome.
He was a great pitch man. What did he pitch?
He did a few things.
No, but what are you known for?
Sugar Ray.
With a soda.
Really? Yeah. No. Not coming to me.
Sprite.
Sugar Ray? That makes sense.
Yes.
Is that the commercial with the kid?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember we played that one day.
Yeah, I was a big Sugar Ray fan. Thanks, Uncle Frank. When I was a kid, Sugar Ray was in Wildwood on the boardwalk.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's awesome.
So I was like, oh, my God, it's Sugar Ray Leonard. Like, I remember being like, wow. My cousin was like, are you kidding me? So my mother, who goes up to Sugar Ray Leonard, I love you.
That's
awesome. She goes up to him. She loved because it was his son.
In the commercial.
In the commercial. She goes, I love you with your son. You're a great dad. And right away, he just ate it up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's like, can I introduce you to my son and my nephew? They love you.
Oh, that's like, awesome.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
That's really
Sugar Ray,
cool.
Baby. Yeah, that was cool.
By the way, good nomination, Michael South on Twitter with USA Women's Soccer. Now, I just don't know which one. They're dominant, right? They've won multiple times. So I don't know which.
Maybe Yoda Heather Mitz.
I don't know what the iconic gold medal was. I mean, any gold medal is obviously iconic.
Can I tell you a great story?
We got it.
So this is a great story. So Heather coaches her son's soccer team. So one of the kids didn't know who she was.
Okay.
And I think one of the parents didn't know who she was, too. Like, one of the dads. And she goes, I had to do it. She brought the gold medals to practice.
That's
the greatest.
Amazing. What,
that
was
awesome?
One of the dads being a J.O.?
Yeah. Oh, here's my resume right here.
Oh, my God.
And you just go like, hey, boom.
That's awesome.
Here's my gold medals. Take that.
Oh, she's one of my favorite people in the world now.
She's the greatest. That's awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Holly Ski checks in. There was a Little League World Series team. There was a 30 for 30 on them. I don't know that. I'll look it up.
Oh, I'm wrong. It's not Sprite. Thanks, Chef Tino. It's 7-Up.
Oh, okay.
It's the same thing, right? 7-Up and Sprite are the same thing. There's no such thing as 7-Up anymore, is there?
I think it's still out there.
Is 7-Up? I can't even
7-Up's
tell.
It's still there.
It still exists?
Yeah.
Really? 7-Up and Sprite. I thought 7-Up and Sprite's the same thing, no?
It's very similar in taste. It's like Coke and Pepsi.
Okay.
You could taste the difference.
Which one's the Coke? Which one's the Pepsi?
Sprite is Coke, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So 7-Up would be Pepsi.
I didn't even think. That's right. 7-Up was big back in the day. Like, it was big back in the day. 7 Up used to be bigger than Sprite, cuz.
Yeah, it was, and that's changed.
That's right. Tyrone says it's nobody drinks 7 Up without booze.
That's true. Yeah. So the documentary, the 30 for 30 on the Little League World Series team was called Little Big Men. And it was 1982, a team from Kirkland, Washington.
Okay.
And apparently they kind of stole the hearts of the country because there was a lot going on at the time. American hostages, crippling oil crisis were still fresh. The economic malaise of the late 70s still lingered. And the new president was recovering from an assassination attempt. And then, of course, there was also threats from the Soviet Union. So they kind of took the hearts of the country and they won.
Oh, wow. Really? Look at that.
So that came in from Holly Ski on Twitter.
Oh, nice, huh? Wow, oh my God. So my man Sex says you put 7 Up in wine. Huh. I vaguely kind of, I don't know why, that would be horrible, no?
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. I'm not a big wine guy to begin with, but I would not imagine that's good. Now, of course, the 7 and 7 is a great drink. That was definitely something I would mix up in my parents' basement when I was underage. That's the 7 Up and the Seagram's 7 Crown.
Right. Well, I was 7 and 7. Yeah. That was big. That was big.
That was
that's what Tyrone was talking about.
In my parents' basement.
Yeah, the 7 and 7. So it was a, yeah. Give me 7 and 7.
Right.
I didn't even know what it was. But when you're, you know, you're a teenager, you're trying to sneak. And you go, oh, I'll take a 7 to 7.
One of my buddies got not escorted by security, but escorted by some of my friends at our wedding because he was crushing the 7 and 7.
He was doing the 7 and 7s?
Yeah. And he asked to be taken out. He's like, I don't want to make a fool of myself here.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, but it was only a couple hours into the festivities.
Wow.
Yeah, so he needed assistance to the Uber.
So my boy Ryan says that is called, and Ace just checked in too, that's called a spritzer, where you have the wine and
that
either
makes
7
sense.
Up or the, what'd you say? Either 7 Up or club. 7 and 7 became popular with Saturday Night Fever. The Ace Man says,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
7 and 7. Now, Ace was a great bartender. Legendary bartender.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, it's and he served me when I had to be 12, no, 14 at Scruples, which was a club on South Street.
Okay. That's awesome.
They would all get raided often. And then later at the G-Wiz or Baritz in Center City on Locust Street. 15th of Locust.
How about Mike Tone? Now we're getting the 7-Up drinks coming in.
Oh, yeah?
Mike Tone, the 007. You go with the Stolio, orange juice, and 7-Up.
Really?
It's called the 007.
How much is that? I didn't even realize that 7-Up still existed.
Yeah, I know. It's still out there.
I've completely off my radar. You know what it is, too? Like, that's off my radar. The Sprites, the 7-Ups.
Every once in a while, I can go for a taste of a Sprite, but it's like a while.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't realize that. Lefty likes his spritzers, and Donnie Brasco, Sex says. He had 2-3 wines, too many wines. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Billy.
Oh, what's going on?
Hey, Bill. What's up, buddy?
Doing well. Look, just real quick, that nationalistic pride.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing to talk about a game like the Miracle on Ice. People were looking forward to that. When I think about, you know, U.S. pride in sports, the first thing that comes to mind, and one of the more recent ones, is, you know, the night that, you know, we captured Bin Laden. And it's
direct
intertwining with the Phillies because, again...
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, I just tuned in.
That's a great moment.
You know, it's one thing to look forward to a game, but that was something that nobody knew what was coming. And when it did, it just splintered and spiraled out of control. And to have, you know, our team be, you know, I think at the time was like the only game on was the Phillies Mets. And just to have that news break and you just to see the reactions in the crowd and the chants and everything like that.
Yes.
It's not directly, you know, impacting one of our sports teams, but I think you'd be foolish not to say that's at the top of the list.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm with you. That was an incredible moment. Now, we're talking more about games. That was a moment that transcended everything, as you can well imagine. So we were talking about more about games, and that's why, you know, Miracle on Ice, and because that also had a surrounded an event, but also had political ramifications.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
know,
good stuff, though, brother. Great stuff, man. Thank you, Billy. All right, we'll take a quick TO. We'll come right back. Your calls and Jeff McClain coming up. Talk a little birds. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio with the Tunis right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Speaking of wine, you know, it's a great wine. I mean, it's a tremendous wine. It's Barone Fini Wines. Now, Barone Fini Wines, they're right at the foot of the Italian Alps, right in northern Italy. This is incredible. The Pinot Grigio is ridiculous, and we're going to be all having some at the at our 7th annual Feast of the Seven Fishes. It's back. It's going to be the best one yet. And thanks to our friends at Barone Fini Wines, it's Wednesday, December 7th. So a week from Wednesday, we're going to be back at Riverwinds Restaurant in West Deptford. Beautiful view of the waterfront. It's a great time to reflect on the year, celebrate with all of our sports, birds, everything that's going on, and celebrate the great fans of Philadelphia. I hope you can join us. Together, we'll enjoy a fabulous Seven Fishes luncheon paired with delicious Italian wine provided by Barone Fini. This year's menu, you ready? Tunis, it's going to be awesome. Oysters, shrimp cocktail, fried calamari, seared ahi tuna, of course, pasta with fresh crab in honor of my mother's recipe. We're going to have a beautiful wine tasting hosted by Barone Fini, and we'll be giving away great prizes, including Sixers tickets, Flyers tickets. It's going to be a blast. Tickets to $64 per person, all inclusive. I mean, you get that whole menu and you get all the wine. It's great, great, great time. All right, space is limited. So you got to call Riverwinds Restaurant to get your ticket. All right, details, visit our events page, 975thefanatic.com, the annual, 7th annual Feast of the Seven Fishes, presented by Barone Fini Wine.
Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hang out on a World Cup Tuesday. USA, Iran, and all things. We're talking about our nationalistic pride. One of the great moments, and my man Sags nails it, which is really cool, along with West Virginia Rick, and that is Jesse Owens. Sticking it right to Hitler. That's an incredible USA moment.
Yeah, that's a good story.
That's a great story. Yeah. Jesse Owens. It was fantastic. All right, but one thing we're doing is we're reflecting on 10-1. 10-1. Think about that for a second. So we reflect on the birds and the talk birds like he does with us every Tuesday. Always look forward to it. He does such a great job covering the Eagles. For the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, Jeff McClain. Jeffrey.
All right, Anthony, what's up?
10-1. All right, but before we get to that, because I want to reflect on this a bit, because that's an incredible, just incredible record. We did get some bad news. Eagles got some bad news today when it comes to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the lacerated kidney. What do you know about, like, the length of time? And they say he will be back. Is that correct?
Yes, it sounds like he'll be back, but before the end of the season, Eagles haven't decided yet on whether they're going to play someone IR. Of course, if he goes on IR, that means he's out for four games, and that means he won't be back until, at the very earliest, January 1st against the Saints. So, it could be a little bit wild. The Eagles had, Zach Ertz suffer a similar injury, the lacerated kidney in 2019. That was also with
that's
the
right.
fractured
yeah.
Red. He missed a game and came back for the playoff game, different circumstances, and he actually did so, I think, against the advice of some people close to him, which shows you about tells you a lot about Zach Ertz's heart.
Yeah.
But they don't really have to, this is a different, and they don't have to really rush CJ back under these circumstances. So my guess is probably it's going to be in between 3 or 4 weeks, or, you know, maybe a best case scenario too, because I think that's why they're not sure about IR. If it's, you know, if you're going to lean towards four, then you put them on IR. If you think that you can get back earlier, then you're looking at 2 or 3. Mm.
Yeah, he's been such a valuable, what a player, man. He's been terrific for them all season long. So you got to make sure he's right for the playoffs.
Yeah, look, you have to, at this point, I mean, the Eagles could technically clinch a playoff berth this weekend. A lot of things have to happen for that to happen. But we're getting to the point where they're going to be clinching it. And then, yeah, there's a lot at stake. You want to get that number one seed, absolutely. But you can't, you know, do that at the expense of certain players' health. And CJ has been a valuable addition to that safety group. Certainly 6 interceptions still leads the NFL. And he's gotten more comfortable. I mean, yeah, there were some struggles there in the first month as he was getting used to playing a new position, at least a position that he hadn't played since college, a new scheme. And he saw some mistakes here and there. But I've seen a more comfortable player in that position.
Just curious, Jeff, because we were talking about this earlier. You know what's amazing is that they get him, they get A.J. Brown. I mean, those two trades were incredible. I mean, I don't even know why. Like, I'm still trying to figure out why Tennessee wanted to do that. And why the Saints. I know it's about contracts, but why wouldn't you want to lock up young players like that?
Yeah, you know, and not just that, you know, why weren't other teams kind of thinking this in this on the same page as the Eagles? And
yeah,
not everybody needs certain positions and not everybody has whatever cap space. Not everyone's situations are the same. The AJ one to me was, that's been among Howie's best moves that he's ever made, because it really addressed the need. And he was playing for the future. I mean, for the
yeah.
Present. Draft, you know, this is a strong draft. Yeah, you know, the guy I guess they could have taken, Tennessee took, and he looks pretty good, is Traylon Burks,
yeah.
Who was hurt early in the season, but now yeah. He's coming. Yeah,
yeah, a couple but, of you know, decent
games. Is he quite what AJ is at his career? No, and that's hurt them, if you look at what's happening in Tennessee. And, you know,
everybody wants to bust Ryan Tannehill's chops, but listen, you take A.J. Brown away from him, I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, who else does he have to throw to? Now, that, right. Again, that was before Burks got hurt, and, you know, now that he's there, they've been a little bit better through the air. Yeah, I mean, why didn't teams that had, you know, were under certain, you know, under the same circumstances as the Eagles, why didn't they think about doing the A.J. Brown trade? So, yeah, I mean, these are two good moves that Howie's made. I think we've talked about this. A lot of the moves that he's made so far have come up aces.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm like supremely impressed at how this. I mean, 10-1. I mean, when you take a step back and reflect, it's. I mean, it's really impressive. I mean, it's funny because I thought Sunday might be a little bit of a sweat, especially since Green Bay, that was their season right there. And, you know, before the rib injury, Rodgers was playing pretty well. And, you know, they're up to every challenge. And when you're racking up 350 yards on the ground, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, they're jumping yeah. on you first quarter. And Jalen, geez, you know, Jeff, we've been doing this a long time. The thing about him, he's so sturdy. Like, you know, we were talking about, you know, taking hits. And you never want to see your quarterback take hits. But there's something about how sturdy he is and how, you know, how strong he is. Everybody we talk about the legs and the squats. But, man, that's unbelievable. It's especially when the weather gets cold, when you're looking at January, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, and that was kind of what I wrote about off the game, was just how multifaceted this offense is. And, you know, I even asked Jason Kelce, is this the most multifaceted offense you played in here in Philadelphia? And he said, yeah, probably. And we're talking about 2017. We're talking about 2013. We're talking about some pretty good offenses. Andy Reid, obviously, he played under. It was the latter Andy Reid years. But you still had explosive type offenses and a lot of weapons. And, you know, Jalen is the X factor. I mean, he just, because he gives you that plus one in the run game, but also he's been doing it through the air and making very smart passes. He made a couple of elite throws on Sunday.
Yeah, the back shoulder throw to Quez was beautiful.
I was almost even more impressed by the third and 12th throw to Devontae.
Yeah.
Which was like a real tight window throw. Yeah. And under the circumstances, do you do that? Because you're up and field goal was fine.
Yeah.
And that was not a game, again, you didn't have to really throw it much because you had so much success on the ground. And, you know, they spent a lot of the offseason trying to be more balanced because last year it was just so run heavy. And you saw what happened in the playoff game. They just took it away. And there's not as much you can do in the run than you can do in the pass. And they knew that. And it's not just about, you know, run or pass. It's about the variety within both of those disciplines. And they can go RPO. They can go zone read. In terms of the run game, they can go power, they can go outside zone. Jeff Stoutland, who's the run game coordinator, can tweak it up and throw wrinkles into that run game and make it diverse. So you have a lot of different elements to the run game. And then the pass game, you can go with Dallas, or you can go heavy on the outside, or you can attack a lot of different coverages with what they have installed. And so it's like, it's the diversity and versatility of that offense that makes it so dangerous for defenses week in and week out. Now they had a little bit of a lull there, but that's going to happen as teams catch up in some ways. But the Eagles, they had the lull last week, no Dallas Green. They were trying to adjust to that. And then a week later, they come back and bang, 363 yards on the ground. Like, it's not a great defense. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is a great defense they're playing.
No, but still, I mean, those numbers, they're gaudy numbers. I mean, against, right, I don't care what they're against. Yeah.
Exactly. They're doing it, putting up those types of numbers. This is a good offense. And this is a Super Bowl caliber offense. Now, the other two areas, you know, that could be the issue. And
yeah.
Can they compensate for that? That'll be the issue moving forward. But right now, 10-1. I don't think any of us
are supposed to come to this. Yeah, I keep going back to it, and I agree with you. Like, this offense is just a legitimate offense. Now, you know, those other two things, let's talk about the special teams because, man, it's getting worse every week. And it's to the point where, and I know that was a big topic of discussion yesterday with Nick, but my God, I mean, the coverage units are horrible.
Yeah, it was a topic with Nick, and he said that when it's been this bad, everything's on the table. So now I don't think firing Michael Clay is on the table. I don't think you can't make wholesale personnel changes, but you can do things here and there. And one of them is to maybe just start taking some of the starters and putting them out there because on special teams, it's not really a huge scheme thing. Yes, you have to teach technique to these guys, and you have to tell them how to run in their lanes and how to et cetera. But to me, it's a little more personnel, and they've gone a little light in the special teams personnel department because they've gone stronger in getting guys out there on offense and defense. So you're going to have to give a little bit. You're stressing your special teams a little bit when you do that. But at some point, you may have to say, "Hey, starting linebacker, starting safety, starting whatever. You got to get out there and play. Give us a few reps here because these young guys, and they have a lot of young guys out in these." And these coverage units and the punt and kickoff units that have never done it before or haven't done it at this level. And I think that's where you're seeing some of the issues in terms of the execution.
We're talking to Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Does such a great job covering the birds for the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. Jeff, just curious, I had a caller yesterday bring up N'Kobe Dean. What are you hearing about N'Kobe Dean and in fact, he was on this morning with John Kincaid, and I'm just curious about when you think you get a glimpse of him.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to N'Kobe a few times. He's very patient, wants to play, obviously. Has he really stood out in special teams?
Right.
So, I thought he was actually one of the better performers in special teams Sunday. But it's like, it's not like you're thinking, oh, now special teams is a different thing than playing defense. And I'm not saying he can't play on defense, et cetera, but like, you're not taking TJ Edwards out.
Right.
And
he's your white.
He's your Mike, and he's played well. He's played well. And, you know, Kizer got off to kind of a hot start. I do feel like there are times where defenses go at him.
Uh-huh.
And
he's a little lighter. He's on the lighter side. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's, you know, and certainly in the run game, he's a good cover linebacker.
Yeah.
So maybe there's an opportunity to find a package or, you know, give Dean a taste here and there. But it's not like the defense has been a complete wreck. So I don't know if it's something you even want to consider, because it's not like, you're 10-1. I mean, do you want to make these wholesale changes when I don't, or, you know, even at one position? And I just don't think that's necessary. And I don't think, and I, look, they're around him a lot more than I am, right? They know what his strengths and weaknesses are more than we do. And I'm not hearing anything that's saying, oh, this is something that could happen. And now next year, you know, Kizer and Edwards, they're in the roommate last year, their contracts, they're not bringing both of those guys
right,
back.
Right.
So okay, then you'll see maybe TJ come back and Dean's the weak side guy.
Yeah, I could see the same thing. That's kind of what we were talking about. That now something now is interesting, because we talked about the special teams. How concerned are you with the defense that, you know, at some point you're going to get the big boy back, so you'll be able to get him back for at least the Dallas game, right? You expect him sooner?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's possibly plays this Sunday. So,
you think Jordan Davis plays Sunday against Tennessee? Wow.
I don't know. I think there's a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen. You know, I've heard them be very positive, kind of behind the scenes on his recovery, but, you know, it may take a little bit to get that.
You got the wind going. You got to get back in the shape. That whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you want him there. You know, the run defense was better against the Colts with Linval Joseph in there than it was previously with other Buck guys that you had at that nose tackle spot. Not as good this past game. I don't think Joseph or Sue played particularly well against the run. And Sue's more of a pass rusher at this point in his career, at least a guy who can move that pocket. And there are a couple things I thought schematically or technique-wise that he didn't, you know, in that big touchdown run by A.J. Dillon. I think that was Sue. That was a lot of that had to do with Sue and how he played that. I mean, you're worried, you know, look, again, Jonathan's defense is, you know, obviously I know it's aesthetically not pleasing to a lot of people here in Philadelphia, but it's about keeping the ball in front of you. It's about, you know, if you're going to lean one way, you're going to lean on stopping the pass and explosive plays versus the run. You'll give a little bit there. So I don't think you're ever going to see kind of a smash mouth dominating run defense from Jonathan or from this team. But that being said, overall, it's been a productive defense for the most part, and they are getting to the quarterback. I mean, they already have 35 sacks this season. They only had 30 last year. I mean, so there's an improvement there. They're getting a lot more turnovers, way more turnovers than they got.
Yeah, well, I didn't get any this year. Yeah.
Right. So you're seeing those flash plays that you didn't see as much last year from a defense that is certainly upgraded in terms of personnel. But I think, you know, having James Bradbury there really helped Jonathan in terms of what he wants to do schematically. I know you probably think a little different than I do in terms of Jonathan's performance this year.
I think it matches their offense. Again, I think your defense has to complement your offense. And if I had that offense, I would certainly play it differently. The worst thing you could do is keep that offense on the sidelines.
Right. And that was an issue against Washington.
Uh-huh.
But I think they believe that they typically, under normal circumstances, can be the team that can control the clock too as well. That was, you know, there were a lot of things that offensively in that game, but, you know, three turnovers, two of them were kind of fluky.
It doesn't erase the fact that they were on the sidelines for way too many plays, 10 plays, 12 plays, 14 plays, these long drives. I mean, that was bad. It was bad coaching. I mean, you said it was a bad game.
It was not. He did not call a good game there. But I think what they look at is like, okay, that was a perfect storm of what can happen. We haven't seen it otherwise. But yes, you do have to be wary of that. You can't allow this Tennessee team. You know, Derrick Henry got kind of limited last week, but he also damaged the damage in the passing game. So it's not like, you know, if you
focus on stopping him and the run game, you can't worry about him in terms of what he can do as a receiver, although that's not really been his the strength of his game.
I'll tell you when you're going to get tested. If you played San Francisco in the playoffs.
Well, if you're looking down the road.
That's where this defense, I'll hold my breath.
D'Amico Ryan's done a offensively, in terms of what they do. Yeah, that, to me, is not a stylistically or at least a schematic matchup the Eagles will probably be favored in.
No, I agree. That's why I don't want
certainly their defense.
I like
certainly
to avoid them. Now, Dallas is going to be interesting, but I think they can match up against Dallas.
Yeah. When they beat them last time, I know it wasn't Dak. But
well, that's a big deal. Yeah,
it was a big deal. No, but Cooper was playing okay coming into that game. He didn't play well.
He's a rag arm, though. I'm curious to see how they're going to play. They'll have balance with Prescott. So that's kind of – and to me, that's the only two teams that they really – we've talked about this a number of times that really will give them, you know, any kind of fight, I think.
Yeah, if you play your game against those other teams I think I said that I thought they'd go 6-3. There might be like the loss at Dallas or some other game, and then maybe that last game they rest if they have the number one seed wrapped up. But you know, they only have a one game lead on the Vikings. Now they have the head to head too with them, so if they finish with the same record, they'll get that number one seed. So that's huge. And then I guess the next team would be the Cowboys at 8-3. So
and that Christmas Eve Day game is going to be a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, unless they move to Christmas night.
Oh, man. They're going to flex that? Wow.
I get mixed messages on whether they can do that or not. But, like, right now, that game is, I think, the Bucks versus the Saints.
Wow.
That game.
Nobody wants to watch that.
You put
Eagles Cowboys?
Yeah, numbers of the Eagles Cowboys.
Christmas night?
It would be like.
Oh, my God. Merry Christmas, Philadelphia, all over again. My God. Yeah.
I mean, don't quote me on that. I'm just saying,
right.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right. I'm going to keep an eye out. And if it happens, you get all the props. Listen, Jeff, great stuff, brother. We love you, man. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Anthony. Talk to you soon.
See you, pal. Jeff McClain, Inquiry.com on the Comcast Business I Like. Can you imagine that? Eagles Cowboys Christmas night?
Time for Ben Cooper.
We'd have a double dip Sixers.
Wow, that's right.
Eagles Christmas Day?
Dude.
Ho, ho, ho.
You hit the double parlay. Pay for the gifts.
We still got an hour to hang, so don't go anywhere. And coming up, we'll talk a little Sixers basketball with Doc Rivers and the resurgent Sixers, even despite all the injuries. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunis right here, 97.5. The Fanatic, listen. Let's talk about NJ Diet for a second, because losing weight not only helps your overall health, but research shows that it can help you in many different areas like testosterone levels. And testosterone levels, it can increase them, which can then resolve issues like ED and low libido. With NJ Diet, it only takes 40 days to lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds. Weight loss is contractually guaranteed. NJ Diet uses your hair, saliva, blood work to personalize natural formulas and supplements where the side effect is weight loss. Lose 20 to 40 plus pounds guaranteed. NJ Diet is all natural. No shots, no hormones, no counting points, no prepackaged foods, no surgery. Schedule an initial consult at one of their convenient locations. You got Cherry Hill, King of Prussia, Newark, Delaware, or from the comfort of your home. You got live online video consultations. No matter how much weight you need to lose, NJ Diet is for you. Don't wait for your doctor to give you bad news and try to figure it out. Stay ahead of your health. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com. That's njdiet.com, and lose the weight for good.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, All right, it's 1 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. And you know what? I want to get into some Sixer talk. Because look, lo and behold, 12-9. Joe comes back last night. And man, I just love watching him play like that. I just love watching him dominate. And that was a really good win against a tough Hawks team. Your backcourt's depleted, and you got to go up against those two monsters, right? Like, you got to deal with Trae Young, right? You got to deal with Murray. That's a big deal. That's a good win last night. And joining us to talk about it is the coach of the Sixers, Doc Rivers. Doc, what do you say, man?
How are you? How are you doing?
Good, buddy. I mean, listen, that was a good win last night.
Yeah, it was. It really was. You know, both teams are on a back-to-back, obviously, and you know, just with us with all the injuries and still winning games, you know, winning a game, if you took the three best players or three best scorers off of any team and you kept winning, that says a lot about our team, says a lot about our character. And then last night, like, we needed Joel. It was huge for him to come back last night. And then perform the way he performed in the fourth quarter was huge for us.
You know, and he had the monster night, which was ridiculous. The 59 night, and he's been in the fourth quarter finishing games. It feels like it's been working. It feels like fourth quarter he's feeling good about himself.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I first took this job, one of the first things I told Joel is our big step is you becoming a closer at the end of games, and it's gonna take a while. We got to find the right spot for you. You got to get comfortable in it. You got to develop go-to moves. And if you've looked from 2 years ago to now, and this is the biggest part this year, you can see it. He's closing games. He's getting to the spot that he wants to get to. He's picking to, drive, shoot, post. He's making plays with the pass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what closers do. And, you know, we forget how young he is still. And had to learn that, and now he's doing it. That's going to be huge for us. It's big for us now, but it'll be huge for us later.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember hearing a story about, you know, you were talking about the spot on the floor, like that, you know, free throw line extended where it's like one dribble, boom, rise up, and that's money for you all day. And that was one of the spots that you're like, listen, you can do this because you can get this shot all the time, and that's something you'll knock down.
Yeah, and it's got to be, you know, he's done it with work. But, you know, if you look at all the great closers, I always talk about closers, you know, any business, you send a closer in to close the deal, right? Same thing in sports. They know exactly what they want, and that takes some developing. And now you can see Joel is so comfortable there. Even when he misses it, he got his shot, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I have this argument all the time with people because their idea of a closer is always face the basket, right? It's always like a wing player who's, you know, obviously a two or three that can face the basket, can break down a defender, and not a big. And, you know, people still look at Joe as not a guy who's a face the basket guy when that's really what he is. He's every bit of face to basket. And look, Giannis is, he was a little smaller, but he's a face to basket guy too.
Well, at the end of the game, everyone has to be. You know, like we get Joel on the post. We had him on the post a bunch last night. We get him behind the three a couple times. But down the stretch of a game, the most important shot is to be in between jump shot. You know, the shot that in some ways is dead in our league
until you need
a basket. And so that's the shot that you have to face the basket and see where all the defenses are coming from.
And you brought up a great point, too, because he's breaking down his man better, cleaner. He's cleaner with his passes. Like, you look at his vision. He's always had good vision, but now he's clean. He's much cleaner now, which makes you dangerous. And, you know, let's face it, until we get Harden back and – you know, we get Tyrese back, you know, he's going to have to shoulder that load.
Yeah, he is, but I think the other guys have showed that they could score. And if we play the right way, if we play with the right movement. What I loved about Joel last night, he saw how the team was moving the ball and playing at a really good pace. And last night, you could see from the beginning, this is going to be a slugfest, but what Joel tried to do was get everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember in the middle of the first quarter, hey, I know what you're doing, but it's all right for you to get involved too, big fella.
he had seven dimes last night. You know?
Yeah, he did, and he was really focused on getting Shake going, keeping Tobias going, because he knows the better that they play, the easier it is for him.
Doc, you know, I think about Tobias. He's so vital to this thing. Like, if you can get consistent kind of consistent scoring out of him, where it's not just one half, where you can get, because he can get those shots. I was wondering, I'm glad that we got you today, because I was wondering about the front court. If those guys will fit all the time together. And look at last night with Joe, Tobias, and Tucker, it looked good last night. When early on, I was wondering about it, like, you know, do you need to break them up a little bit, like, especially with Harden, because you're so deliberate. How do you kind of mesh with those guys, right? Like, how do you, it's almost like a science experiment.
Yeah, well, you do break them up, you know, and it, each night's a different night. You play certain teams that have
matchups.
Backcourt, or, you start the three. You have a smaller team. You start them to see if you can dominate on the glass, and then you take one of Tobias or PJ out and you put in a guard. So it's easy to match up and change, but there's nights where you need that size. Last night was one of them. Milwaukee was one of them. Brooklyn was one of them. You just, in all the good teams, for the most part, you're going to need size. I mean, can you imagine us playing three guards against Boston?
No.
With Tatum?
You can't match up.
It's just nights that you need the size. And, you know, Tuck has not made shots, and he hasn't gotten a lot of shots either. And that's one of the things I tell our guys. You can pass it to him in the corner. He's wide open, and he's a 40% shooter. But in the meantime, what Tuck is doing with his defense and just his leadership has been unbelievable for us.
No, I like to. I love that Melton, man. He's a good ball player, man. He really is. He does all those little things. He's tough. That was a really good addition. It's kind of what I thought he was at Memphis, and watching him up close, I love that kid, man. He's a winner.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You don't know a guy. I loved him. I've loved him. We wanted to draft him when I was with the Clippers, and I don't know who moved in front of us. Someone moved in front of us, a pick in front of us, and grabbed him. He has these long arms, Inspector Gadget. You know, that's what a lot of the guys call him. And he makes plays that you don't think he can make. What I think he has shown me is that he's a way better shooter. I knew he was a good shooter. He's a way better shooter than even I anticipated. And even though we all knew he was a great defensive player, he's better than that. And so he's been great for us.
How important, in your mind, was this stretch where you're without, you know, up until last night, you're without the big three, these other guys, and kind of looking toward the future with roles for them? Like, you know, it's funny. Like, I'm looking at Niang. Since he's in shape, he's played well. He's not just been, you know, the guy that can shoot threes. He's been active. He's been better defensively since he got into really good shape. So I'm kind of curious, like, in your mind, what this stretch does for, like, say, the spring.
Well, first of all, I hope George is not listening to this, because you're talking about his conditioning. We kill him every day. So he's going to be very happy to hear that. I will say that. He's clutch. You know, he's a guy. You need guys in big games that are just not scared. And George is never scared. He's going to – you leave him open, he's taking the shot. And I love guys like that. All of our role players, you know, Shake is starting to play well. Furk is playing well. Paul Reed is playing well. Trez is playing well. So we got a lot of guys who are playing well. They're making a case for minutes, which is great. And they're going to establish our second unit. You know, they're proving right now that they can be a second unit without any of the big three on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it helps to have one of those guys on the floor.
One of the things I was just curious, when James comes back and you got Maxey, how does that work for long stretches when Tyrese wants to go, right? Like, you know, he's just ready to go. Is it better to straddle him at times? You know,
never. Just throw the ball ahead. You know, what we have, if you watch the, not the first Orlando game, the second Orlando game, mm-hmm. We were the old fast break, Knicks, Celtics, whatever, where the ball didn't touch. Most of our breaks came from the pass ahead. And that's what we tried to teach in training camp, that we didn't get out when we first started, and that's what we have to keep doing. If you can throw the ball ahead to Shea, to Tyrese Maxey, to Tobias Harris in the open court, we can get easy baskets. We can score. And then if it's not there, then you bring it back to James and to Joel, and then you score the traditional way. But we have to have both things to be a good basketball team, and that's what we're working on.
Yeah, that's interesting. It is because I was always curious to see how you integrate, especially because Tyrese is so different than when you have Harden, Embiid, Tobias, and Tucker, that deliberate style. Then you got Maxey. So it's kind of interesting because he can leak out and you can do some things there. Because those easy buckets, it also gives a big man a breather.
Yeah, and you just got to have them. You have to. You got to get easy buckets. You got to get easy threes, easy basket attacks. Now, the game's hard enough. And when you slow the game down, the NBA gets very big, if you know what I'm saying.
Very physical.
And so you have to get easy baskets. You have to look for them on every opportunity.
How you feel? Like, you know, this stretch, is it different for you when you're coaching at this kind of, you know, these kinds of, this situation? Because, you know, losing your big three this early, and, you know, people start to look, and you look at a record, all of a sudden, you know, you're 12-9. That's impressive.
Yeah, I think what we've done is very impressive. But, you know, coach is always thinking ahead and looking where we can go. I just love where we can be. We're not that yet. But you can see the pieces starting to fall in place. You know, getting Joel back and kind of keeping it, establishing the style of play that we want to play at. Hopefully getting probably James back, hopefully on this trip, would be great. And then Tyrese would be the last piece. But it's more important as the pieces is the play and how we play. And that's going to be the key moving forward.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's fun. Look, you know it. We talked before the season. We're going to be doing this. You know, it always comes down to what's going to happen, you know, come April, right? Like, it's almost like this, a horse race, right, where you're just trying to get everybody in tow, kind of all ready for that big run, man.
It's the key. I mean, listen, we're all in this for the same reasons. I didn't come here, you know, just to be a good team. You want to be the winner.
Yeah.
And that's hard. You know, it really is. But let's accept the challenge and we'll see what happens. But I really like where we're trending.
Yeah, man. I feel you. It's been fun. And you know what? It's good because it got people kind of woke up a little bit. Because it's weird with the way the schedule was starting this early, where in the teeth of everything else. And I think finally, you know, Joe's been, you know, when Joe comes back and that game, I got to ask you one more thing about that 59-point game. That was so Wilt-like, right? Like, I don't remember Wilt, right? But I can only imagine the pure dominance of that night. My God. You know, that's such a rarity.
The most dominating game I've ever seen in live.
Thank you.
Think about it. I've coached for 20 years, and I played in the Dominique Bird game.
Yeah.
You know, Bird had 61, or Dominique, and I don't like talking about it because we didn't win the game.
Yeah.
But it was a hell of a game. And I thought Joel, because it wasn't just scoring, you know, it was rebounding, it was block shots, he had assists. It was just a dominating game. His fingerprints were all over that game. You rarely see a guy that scores that many points and do that many other things. You don't see it. I think it was a historical game.
Yeah, not from a bit. Now, you know, listen, I hear you. Like, I remember covering Jordan at the Garden, dropping 55 on a Saturday afternoon, and you go, oh, my God. But, like, the array, the difference, like you point out, of what Joe can do at that size – and just with the basketball, man, sometimes I just go, I love watching him play. Like last night, just as a fan of the sport, to watch him is a treat. And I know you, like, you know, this is your vocation, this is your life. So sometimes you appreciate it too.
He's coming into his own. Like he can just feel it. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
He's learning to lead. He's learning to set examples. So, you know, it's little things. You know, you don't take quantum leaps sometimes, but you can see it coming, And I just love the future for him.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Doc, listen, thanks so much, brother. We really appreciate it as always, all right? And keep it going.
Thank you, man. Oh, we will.
All right, baby. See you later. Here he is, Doc Rivers, Sixers coach on the Comcast Business Hotline. And listen, 12-9 after the start, it feels good. You know when you're going to get hard and back. Knowing that, you know, Tyrese will be the last piece, like he said. But still, you know, knowing that, you know, you all of a sudden you start the new year, you're not buried.
Yeah, I mean, look, these wins are important. I mean, think about it. Even before Embiid comes back, it was important that they stole a couple of wins. That win against Brooklyn, right?
Yes.
You know, that was a game that you said that they were going to win. I and many others did not think they were going to win that game. And they stole one without any of their big three. And they've stayed afloat even with all these injuries, which is great. You need to pile up wins. I would love to do anything to avoid that play-in tournament, which I still think is absolutely stupid. I know seedings don't matter, but I'd rather just be a 1-6 as opposed to a 7-10. So the wins matter. Now the big question is, what does it look like when Harden comes back? Because Embiid has really taken over since Harden's injury. Right? You know, he's 30 points, 40 points, right. 59 points. He has taken over since Harden's gone down to injury. And I'm not going to say I'm concerned for when Harden comes back, but I just wonder what it's going to look like. I don't want anything taken away from what Embiid's done. I just want it to be married, the two of them. It should work.
Well, what was interesting is the whole conversation of Joel as a closer.
Yeah.
Right? And how that's been his whole mission statement. His whole mission coming here was to try to make Joel a closer. Which, you know, listen, he's got to be it. Right? Like,
he's the best player on this team.
And that's been the crux of everyone's criticism. And I get it. Like, you know, I get it. But hopefully, he did. He looked good down his stretch last night.
Yeah, I mean, he's been huge for him. And the fact that he can go 11 of 12 or 10 of 11, whatever it was from the free throw line. I mean, look, they were running inbound plays to get the ball to the center.
I know, dude.
Like, when do you see that? Inbound plays for the center in the closing seconds of a game so that he could get fouled and go to the line.
But you know what? It's funny. He's just been a lot cleaner with the basketball. I think that's the biggest thing with him is... And he's such a marvelous talent. He really is. It's just why, like, it would make me sad. Like, I talk to guys all the time, and, you know, guys I respect who know the game, you know, inside and out, and they question Embiid. And I understand why they do that, but, you know, quite frankly, I just marvel at the guy. I want it so badly to work because I think he appreciates it here. He wants to be that guy. He's a tremendous talent. And I want it all to come together for him. I really do. I love the guy. I don't want to trade him. I don't want him to do it. No, I don't mean it in the...
Right, I got you.
I don't want, like, to flop another player, like another star. I want to see him do it here. I like him a ton, man. I really do, man. I know at times he can mope or whatever, but I think the guy's just a marvelous talent.
Yep.
And I think he loves it here.
Hey, built the house in Margate.
Like, there's
and he wants to be here.
Like that means something to me. Like, I know the big man doesn't get as much love as Tyrese or like the little guy would, right? That's always been the nature of it. But that dude, man, that dude's such. I love watching him play ball. I really do. All right, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Ready with the Chewers. We got one more segment, and then we got Team USA coming up top of the hour. I got a baseball thing I got to run by as some rumors.
Okay.
And there was a huge signing by the Strohs, dude. Are you kidding me?
That was ridiculous. Come on. Rich get richer.
Yeah, dude. And, of course, all your calls straight ahead. U.S. Pride. Where are we at with some U.S. Pride? Now let's talk about the Bet Parks app because at 2 o'clock, you want to bet Team USA. You can do that. And in fact, they got all kinds of bonuses. Like you get $25 a goal. You have some fun for every goal the U.S. scores. So there's a lot of things you can do with the Bet Parks app. It's so much fun. It's just great stuff. So check it out. The Bet Parks app, all your football, same game parlays. You know, the props are a lot of fun, especially since, you know, we love fantasy stuff. So, you know, you can look at it, you know, like Jalen, build the same game parlay with Jalen on the ground. You know, there's a lot of fun stuff there. And, you know, it's where you can bet a little bit of money and maybe you win something big. Who knows? Check it out, the Bet Parks app. In fact, go to betparks.com for all the details. Right now, you get up to $750 in sportsbook credit if your first bet's not a winner. When you use the code Fanatic, betparks.com's got the details. Check it out. Got to be in PA or New Jersey. You got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Across the Delaware Valley.
Hi.
Hi, Junis. Dude, the Fanatic Holiday Wheel is back.
Yes, which is very exciting, which is why I got to play this one more time.
Yes, the Fanatic Holiday Wheel is back. I love it. I was hoping it would be back. I don't know why. I just love hearing this. It feels like Christmas.
Well, and you're Santa, cuz. You love giving out.
I do enjoy that. I have to admit.
Which is
like
why
that.
You love, what, May through whenever FanFest is. Because
yes,
you give out, you know, your quest to a billion FanFest tickets.
Right.
And then, of course, you love the Holiday Wheel.
Yeah, I love the Holiday Wheel. And it is back this year. We spin it three times a day. Johnny Decay and the boys at 8 a.m. with me and Chunas at noon. Best show ever for your chance to win some amazing prizes. So do yourself a favor. Register now at 975thefanatic.com. Starting Monday, December the 12th, we'll start calling out names. The Fanatic Holiday Wheel presented by Rally House. Every wheel spinner will automatically receive a $50 Rally House gift card.
Rally House.
That's right. Your city, your
house.
That's right. Rally House. Register for the Holiday Wheel right now. That's pretty cool. Speaking of Johnny Decay, the Johnny and Bob and Pat and the boys, they were in Connor in the new the Beasley. What would you call that room?
I think it's a performance studio.
Yeah,
a lot of the music stations will have live performances there.
It's really cool.
All my XTU people obviously have shows there. The double first names, as you call them. You know, our friends at MMR, they have some live acts, local acts
nice.
That are there every once in a while. So yeah, it's like a little performance studio, but it was cool that, they were there.
I gotta tell you, I loved it. It was great. And it was that studio was awesome.
And a great cause, the Day of Giving.
Yeah. Today is the Day of Giving. And, John, of course, does such a great job with the AACR and making sure that, you know, we donate in the fight against cancer. And it is the Day of Giving. It's a beautiful thing. The breakfast this morning, I saw it was fantastic. Supplied by our good friends at Pagano's.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Now, I know you are a regular at Pagano's.
Yeah, I was there yesterday. I had the eggs and the breakfast sausage.
They have great delicious. Food. You know, they're great food. Incredible stuff. And I love the coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
They have great coffee. And Matt Pagano, we love him. He's in the building here. And, of course, he's in Center City. And he does something that is a great gift. This is really cool. And we talk about, listen, I talk about small businesses all the time.
Yeah.
We always give out yo's.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt, he's doing something really cool. He's doing a box focusing on small businesses all over the world. In fact, he's got this box. It's beautiful. Well, he's got one for me, which I love.
Nice big box.
The Italian one.
Ah, cool.
Right? All the focus of Italy. And I love that. And in fact, he's got pasta from his grandparents' hometown of Lecce.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is in Puglia, which is an incredible place. It's got all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, you'll love it. And it all supports family-owned business. locally. They have local made in USA boxes, but also all over the world, from New Jersey to Belgium and, of course, Italy.
That's awesome.
This is really cool. And, in fact, with every gift, with every gift box that Matt sells this holiday season, Pagano's will donate a family-sized Italian meal to food-insecure families throughout Philadelphia, which is really, really cool. This is such a great thing. You can order a box and check them out at PaganosMarketAndBar.com. That's PaganosMarketAndBar.com. Again, the Made in America gift box is also, everything was personally selected by Matt from family-owned businesses across the world.
And he's got good taste.
He died. So, tremendous.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really
tremendous
cool.
Taste. You know, really tremendous.
By the way, speaking of the morning, I had a quick story that I forgot to tell you this morning.
What's that, buddy?
So I was stuck in monster traffic, which was just awful. Thoughts and prayers. There was like a 3-car pileup toward the Ben Franklin Bridge. So hopefully everybody's okay. There's an ambulance on scene and whatnot. But the ambulance that was driving to the crash, there was a dude tailgating the ambulance to avoid the traffic. That's got to be instant bad karma, right?
Oh, my God. That's ew.
Instant bad
karma. That is a
karma. Double
ew.
And look, everybody's trying to get to work, right? Like, you know, I didn't get here till 9:45, right?
What?
I'm usually here right around 9 o'clock. I didn't get here till 9:45 because of the traffic. It took me over an hour and 15 minutes to get
How
to work.
How could you do that?
But there
That's
was a
terrible.
Dude tailgating the ambulance to get through the traffic.
That
like,
is
dude, that is an
awful.
Ultimate... bad karma, J.O. move. You can't be
Yeah, that's
that.
Terrible. That's terrible. That's awful. Hey, a couple things. One, we got a couple things on baseball. I want to throw you a hot stove real quick.
All right.
So the Astros, they freaking got Jose Abreu.
Yeah, it's just,
are you kidding me?
It's ridiculous. The rich get richer.
It's unbelievable. They're going to get Jose Abreu?
Yeah. And, well, Gurriel was their first baseman. He's okay.
No.
You go from, you know, like, it's not even a question. You go from Gurriel to Jose Abreu, Trey Mancini to Jose Abreu?
So, Joel Sherman says that things are looking good between Trey Turner and the Phillies.
Okay.
So, this is something we've been talking about since last year.
Yeah, it's almost like he's already a Philly.
I got to believe it happens. Like, put it this way. I will be crushed
if
Trey Turner's not playing shortstop for the Phillies. Or maybe second, stops playing short, or however you want to work it, that Trey Turner has to be a Philly next year. Other notable moves, Padres in on Bogarts.
So what does that mean about Fernando?
I mean, how could that be?
Unless they're tired of him. Motorcycle accident, then the PEDs. They might just be look the players.
He's
the players were angry about him, man.
Yeah.
And if you're a team, you're going to take him. Like he's a stud. He's a very good baseball player.
Yeah,
he may have hurt himself in San Diego, but any team would still value Fernando Tatis Jr. Yeah, the contract's ridiculous, but if you can get him on your team,
hey,
these baseball teams print money at this
point. That's pretty wild. Dodgers the favorite. For Verlander.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Cubs looks like the favorite for Correa.
Okay.
Now they wonder, can the Giants, apparently, you know, the Giants are all about Aaron Judge.
Yes, they are.
And they're
hometown.
Right. And they want to go, because they're going to lose Rodon, and to entice Judge, they're going to sign the Japanese wonderkin Kodai Senga.
Okay.
So they could be, they're going to be a big player in the Senga sweepstakes. Because they think that's going to help them get Judge.
All right. Gable bat him 6th and 7th.
Can you imagine? Yeah, my God. That's unbelievable. And then the other only one I saw was Texas. Looks like Rondon that goes to Texas.
Yep.
And your boy, the Gibby, looks like he's going to go to the Pirates.
Good for him.
Your boy Gibby.
Good for Gibby. He'll be in the league for another 5 years.
You love some Gibby.
Yeah, I love some slop.
Yeah.
Give me all the slop pitchers.
Yeah. you love the slop. Like, goes back. It's so funny that you were a Jamie Moore guy.
I love Jamie Moore. By the way, I got the alert. I have one of those, the doorbells, the Ring doorbells, where you can see the when somebody drops off a package.
Yeah, I get to. We have the Ring, too.
There was a package delivered.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what it is.
The chips.
I hope it's the chips.
The chips.
I told you, it's either today or tomorrow.
The chips are coming.
So tomorrow could be a big day, because tomorrow could be chip day. Also, if you turn around, you see some of our engineers are behind you.
Oh, yeah?
We have the new system coming in tomorrow.
Really?
So, I apologize in advance. Because, you know, we have to train for these things, but they decide to schedule training like 2 months ago. And so, there's no refresher course. So, just a heads up for tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
So, it could be a real S show tomorrow.
All right.
Not but we'll big. Have some fun with the chips if they're here.
Okay. I like it. I like it. All right, let's get to the phones. Black Gritty BG, you're on 97.5 Fanatic BG.
I always love how people up in the upper echelons of corporations just throw things and change around Christmas time. Like the most wonderful time of the year, they throw in a monkey wrench. So hopefully you get your bearings tomorrow there, young Thundercat. Guys, we're 10-1.
Yes.
We're 10-1. And I just can't wait until my front-running MVP, second MVP, whatever you want to call it, quarterback gets that coded conversation. When Josh Allen has a messed up arm, oh, you know, he threw an interception because his arm was messed up. Then he throws a laser. Look at the strength of the arm. And he goes and he runs. And they're like, oh, the weapon. He's just a weapon. When our guy runs, it's like, well, they don't trust him to throw the ball. They just don't trust him. You know, if he keeps running like this, he's going to get hurt. Like, my dude is Michael Jackson moonwalking past guys. Josh Allen is 6'9 and thinks he's a linebacker and running into contact. Like, you can get hurt standing back there. Aaron Rodgers broke ribs and a thumb, and he can't go 2 feet. So, right now, I just want to get that coded conversation from my guy when he becomes established and being a front-runner MVP or second-runner-up MVP, because the guy is playing lights out. When we're throwing the ball for 300 yards, A.J. Brown's catching all touchdowns, why didn't we run the ball? When we're running the ball, it's like, why didn't we throw the ball? This team is doing what it needs to do to win games. And I love that we're under the radar nationally. And the whole conversation this week, Aaron Rodgers, dude, they lost, but I get it. You want to win Aaron Rodgers? Cool. The 49ers, the Resurgence, okay, cool. Keep talking about all these other teams. Let us go and do our job. Fly under the radar, get these jerseys.
Well, you know what's going to be interesting, too, is that this offense is going to be really tough in January. I mean, when you got to come here in January cold and you got to face them running the ball like that, that's just going to take the heart out of some teams, man. You know, they're going to be a handful. You know, that's why this offense, with that line and the way Jalen's running the football. And then the minute you try to sell it against Iran, he goes A.J. Brown and Devontae on you.
And that's the biggest thing, right? Because right now we're fighting through our injuries. You know, you never want injuries, but thank goodness they happened a little bit early on us where guys are going to be coming back late when we need them. So the offense is going to look different, but we're adaptive. So you want to take away the run? Cool, I'll air it out. You want to take away the pass? Cool, I'll run it. You want to take away the number one receiver? I got a good backup receiver. I got a great tight end. Like, there's just options, and I love the fact that the team is adapting. And sometimes the wins aren't pretty. It's the NFL, bro. Get these George W's. Do what you need to do. And it is what it is. Just a real quick one, the Sixers, I was at the game last night. And, you know, it's when you're up in the sky and you're looking down, it is nice to see Joel close out games. But at the same time, when I watch him not play and I see other guys with that confidence to take these shots, it kills me a little bit sometimes when it's just like, give it to Joel and stand there in the corners and look and see what's going on. Like, I would just want a little bit more movement. We won the game. You know, they battled back and forth. So, you know, I want the confidence to stay with the guys that are getting these reps when the other guys are out. Because, again, you need the bench. You know, it shortens up. But you need those guys to have that confidence.
I hear you. Like, I have to be honest. Like, there's certain guys, I know everybody's in love with Shake, and God bless, but there's certain guys, Korkmaz, like, I need to shorten my rotation. Oh, even Trez, like, I know people love Trez, like, come playoff time, I mean, I'm playing 7-8 guys, max.
You are, but like I said, right now I'm talking about the regular season.
Yeah, you're right, BG.
And I just, when I'm watching the regular, the stadium was half filled last night. Last night there was like a 9-year-old kid in a dance battle against a 23-year-old. The announcer forgot to go back to the game. The battle was so great. What is going on, bro? We got a game to play.
I like it. BG, but, good stuff, baby.
Talk to you, brother.
See you, brother. Take it easy. Keith, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Keith.
Hey, hello from the Midwest. How you guys doing?
What are you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Hey, you were talking like national, like U.S.
Yes, U.S. pride. USA, yes. USA.
Yes. 96 World Cup of Hockey.
Yes, that came up earlier.
Oh, we did, darn it.
No, that's all right, because you know what? It was incredible. We went through the roster. I mean, that 96 team was unbelievable, but all the rosters... You know what? It's funny that you mentioned this because a caller did earlier. But man, I miss that hockey. To be honest with you.
Yeah. There was a good documentary. If you saw NHL Network has something on about it, and it was one of those things where that just for U.S. hockey alone really got, I guess you could say, like the U.S. national team, like the development team, were all like Patrick Kane and you know all the U.S. guys that are playing today. You know, or I mean, even before, like Parisi and things like that.
Yeah, no, dude,
that really got them going. Yeah, I remember because I remember, you know, Philly hosted Game One, and then they go to Montreal.
We had it here. Yeah,
yeah, Mikey Richter. So.
Yeah, Richter. Yeah. And we were talking about it. I mean, it was amazing. Brett Hull. You know, it was
Joe Otto. Don't forget Joe Otto was on that tape too.
I know it's amazing, man.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it right now again. It's pretty wild, man. It was really good. Really good team. Yeah. Anyway, good stuff, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it, Keith. Enjoy the game.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
You will.
Let's go to where we at. Nicky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nicky.
And Chunis, what's up, fellas?
What's going on there, Nicky?
Yo, BG is so spot on, man. He's talking points. He should have like a political talk show. He's so spot on because you know that's going to happen. That you know that they're going to, that if he doesn't win it, they're going to be, and it's going to either Allen or Kansas City lover. I mean, that kid is unbelievable. I watched him, Patty Mahomes this weekend. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes they just don't want to acknowledge, like, he's a smart quarterback. I mean, he's just a smart quarterback. So, Chunis, you're right. It's in a lot of states, it is a state motor trafficking violation. To NASCAR draft any emergency vehicle with his lights and sirens on.
Yeah, and forget laws. Karma train, man.
Dude, the karma train, man. Like, you know, they had, you know, the ambulance chases were the lawyers, but now you got the, you know, just the mother father J.O. who just wants to, everybody 20 minutes late already and miserable.
I know.
Yeah, like you can't, and it was a bad accident, man. I mean, the cars looked pretty messed up, and this guy, like, come on, dude, you can't do that.
It's this world, man, this world. Half of this world just doesn't have any empathy for the fellow human beings. Anyway, so, Ant, special teams, like you said, and San Fran, it's like, the, I'm just picturing, for some reason, this the San Fran-Green Bay game at Lambeau Field last year, it's just crystallized in my head. I don't know if maybe it was an 8 o'clock game or something, and that's why I remember it so clearly.
Yeah, it was Saturday night. Playoff game, yeah.
I was looking forward to it because two great teams.
And it was snow. It was like snow squalls, yeah.
Yeah. And Green Bay was winning the whole game, and it was 10-3 late in the fourth. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but I think it was like a block punt or something.
Yeah.
It was a special teams play.
Special teams,
Yeah, it allowed them to tie it up, and then with the clock running out, they kicked the winning field goal. So I know people are like, oh, who's San Fran? Look at a record. That means absolutely nothing. When it comes to January, hopefully we get the bye because I think Jalen's going to need it because Jalen's going to smash. I don't remember like his first run when it was a 7-point game when we drove down the field to kick a field goal. He was running towards the sideline. It was a 6 or 7 yard game. He was coming up against the sideline. He didn't want to go out. So he kind of like fell on his butt, and the safety wasn't expecting that. He basically plowed him and bent him over. And if you look at that replay, I looked at it again last night because I remember that play.
Yeah.
He laid down first of all, flat on his back,
took a breath or two and then stood up and gradually went back to the sideline. So we need the bye, because hopefully we'll get, he can get 2 weeks off the week before, and we can start the stash, and he can get 2 weeks off and be 100% healthy, because the team's getting a little banged up, a little nicked up, man.
You play 17 games, is it going to happen? Sure.
All right, guys, great show.
What about your U.S. pride, man? Your World Cup?
America's Cup, that's why I call it Buffalo. America's Cup. The sailboat racing, when the America's Cup comes on, and I don't know why, I know it's why it's called the America's Cup, but it's originally the British Cup. Yes, it was actually a cup.
I'm shocked.
Sounds like the bougie cup.
I'm shocked, dude.
It is a bougie cup, because initially it was all millionaires who had yachts, and now it became, Oracle and Team Oracle, Team Prada, all these national teams have monster sponsors. And it's more expensive than Formula One, which is probably the most expensive sport.
I did not think we'd get America's Cup. That's wild.
I love it, man. I sit there watching these sailboats. I've never been on one in my life.
I love it.
11 minutes and counting, fellas.
You got it, buddy. Look, you can't wait.
On the honeymoon at the Sandals, they had mini catamarans, the mini sailboats for two. I almost decapitated both Christy and I because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Yeah. And then the winds changed, and all of a sudden the sail went from one side to the other and almost took us both out.
Wow.
That would have sucked. By the way, Bradley with a great answer for the American pride. The Kerry Strug, when she did the vault on the one leg.
Yes.
That's a great answer.
It is a great answer. You're right on. That's a great answer. Thank you, my man, Tasty Cake Dom. Tasty Cake!
Hey, Andrew.
What's up, Tasty Cake? What you feeling, man? You feeling pride or what?
I'm feeling pride. I really wanted to quickly say that was a great interview. First of all, what the Sixers have been doing, Ann, is impressive.
Yeah.
It's impressive. And secondly,
I'm glad now you got a better attitude.
For me, as an old fossil, that was an old fossil game last night where the last couple of possessions, they clear out for Joel. He backs down Capella. I thought he was going to get fouled, too, but he converts. Like, the shot selection, I loved everything they did last night, Ant.
I did, too. I thought they played terrific. I thought I love watching him beat, man. I just do. I love watching him play ball, man.
He's awesome. So for my America's pride, Ant, this is not a game, but just because I love him so much, when that little girl got nervous and Mo Cheeks helped her sing the national anthem.
That's beautiful. Dom, you know why? That's why you got a great heart, dude. I love it. I love ending on that. So go USA, 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 best show ever. We'll be all USA'd up. So thanks, guys. We love you. We'll see you in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.